Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Today we're here with Jim Cook from Boston Beer Company in, of course, Boston, Massachusetts. How are you, Jim?
Well, I'm great, but I got a beer. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's a better time of day for you. I try to keep my beer after 12 p.m., and it's still morning time for me.
All right. Well, I'll have to drink for both of us.
That's fair enough. And what are you drinking?
We'll see if you can tell by the sound.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're drinking out of a boot, out of a Stiefel.
No, but out of a special Samuel Adams glass.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go out on a limb and say Boston Lager.
That was a good limb, Justin. It is exactly right. It's the Sam Adams Boston Lager.
All right, very nice. I want to talk about the beer, of course, but first I think we should do a little history about you. I'm not sure if a lot of people know this. I was surprised to find out, because you don't find this in the brew industry too often. You're actually very well educated, a Harvard graduate.
Yeah, actually more than once. I've got, believe it or not, 3 degrees from Harvard, so I'm probably the most over-educated guy who ever schlepped beer from bar to bar.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I guess what I mean is that any brewer will tell you that if you want to do something with your life, you don't go into brewing. So that's what I'm curious about, how you go from Harvard grad.
No, I think any brewer would tell you that if you want to do something with your life, you don't go to Harvard.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. No, I have a little bit of a wrinkle on that education, which is that my family has been brewmasters for 6 generations. My dad actually is a graduate in 1948 from Siebel Institute.
Okay.
In Chicago, the brewmaster school that I think a lot of people are familiar with. And my grandfather was one of their first graduates from Siebel in 1908. And my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather were all brewers here in the United States.
Wow. That's some history.
It's a little bit of a burden for my kids. It's, you know,
yeah.
Oh, you do what you want. Go ahead, screw up 7 generations, but do what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to follow in the family tradition. It'll be fine.
Yeah, well, it's only been 150 years, and you'll piss it all away.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this then. Given that tradition, did you go to Harvard to become a beer man, or did you actually kind of have a different path and end up where you are?
Oh, very different path, because my dad got out of brewmaster school at a very different time. When he got out of brewmaster school in 1948, there were about 1,000 breweries in the United States, and most of them were doing very well right after the war. So going into brewing and becoming a brewmaster had a pretty reasonable future at that time. And as we all know, the consolidation began, and those 800 breweries in 1948, went down to about 30 breweries when I started Sam Adams in 1984.
Right.
So with each of those breweries went a brewmaster's job. So being a brewmaster was a kind of job where you'd lose your, you know, your job every couple of years as the brewery closed. So he was not encouraging me to become a brewmaster, and the, you know, the big breweries that had taken over American brewing had a different kind of approach to the brewmaster's job. The brewmaster went from being like a chef who put together the ingredients and the recipes to really kind of a another production supervisor in a big, very efficient, very automated, you know, plant, almost like a factory.
Yeah.
And a lot of the creativity and the initiative and the art was replaced by a lot of science and very technical skills. And so the romance went out of being a brewmaster. My father eventually got out of the business, and you know, one of the reasons I went to college is so I wouldn't have to do that.
I see. What I'm curious about then is, once you got out of college, and here it is 1984, and craft brewing is, you know, it's virtually unheard of. Everyone's drinking beers from the big three, and here comes this smart guy, quote unquote, out of Harvard, and he wants to open up a craft brewery. I'm just curious about the factors then that led up to it, and what you kind of faced in 1984 making that decision.
Well, you know, back in 84, there was really no craft brewery movement. In fact, the term wasn't even used. It was back in the days of, you know, microcomputers and microprocessors. So the little breweries were called microbreweries, and there were just a handful, and as many would go out of business as would come into business. So it wasn't something where there was any real clear path to success.
Yeah.
And my vision was really pretty simple. I learned enough about business to know that if you can make a truly superior product, you can have a business, maybe a little business, it may be a little neighborhood business even, but you know, you can have some kind of business if your product is really superior.
Okay.
And when I thought about, you know, making beer, I didn't want to do what my father and grandfather had done, which was essentially compete with the big American brewers.
Okay.
Because they do what they do extraordinarily well. They are the best in the world at mass producing enormous amounts of very well brewed beer, very consistent, virtually flawless. They maintain very good standards of freshness all the way to the consumer. So and they do it very, very efficiently. And I knew I couldn't make that kind of beer any better than they were doing it, and I sure as heck knew I couldn't make it any cheaper than they were doing it.
Absolutely.
So I knew that I couldn't compete in that part of the beer business. And where I felt much more confident was when I looked, and this was in 1984, when there were no real craft brews that were available, and people who wanted better beer turned to imports.
Okay.
And I would, you know, drink those beers, and I really couldn't drink them. They were, you know, typically stale, often skunky, many times not even particularly great beers where they came from.
Yeah.
But because they were imported, they had this mystique. And that was where I saw the opportunity for Samuel Adams. I said, okay, there are people out there who want something bigger, more flavorful, you know, richer than the mass-produced American beers, and they have no good choices.
Right.
The imports really aren't very good. I can make better beer than those stale, skunky imported beers. And I can give it to people fresh.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, when people taste a truly rich, flavorful, world-class beer fresh, they will immediately be able to tell a difference, and I'll be able to have some small measure of success, even though I have no marketing budget, you know, no real marketing skills, but the beer will convince people.
I see. That was the marketing itself, the beer.
Yeah, well, my father, you know, he was a brewmaster, and he used to say, remember, people don't drink the marketing, they drink the beer.
That's good advice, actually. So,
yeah,
as you're,
he was right.
He is right, absolutely. And as you're thinking about this and how you can provide this better, fresher beer, I'm assuming you're already a home brewer at that point?
Yes, and, you know, my dad was a professional brewer, of course, and we had made some beer at home because he'd bring home some yeast. And you could get this, I think it was called Blue Ribbon Malt Extract.
Okay.
It was this, you know, kind of weird stuff that you'd buy. It was a substitute for corn syrup that you'd buy at a grocery store because home brewing was illegal at that point.
Ah, right.
You know, home brewing wasn't legalized until, gosh, I think 79.
Okay.
It was finally legalized. And so I'd done some illegal home brewing and
shame
then
on
some
you.
Legal home brewing. I know, but what are you going to do? You can't stand between a man and a nice glass of beer.
That's right.
And, you know, you just, it was accidental. The yeast happened to fall into the malt extract, and next thing you know, there were some hops flying in there, and we had beer. So it was just accidental, Justin.
Yeah, it wasn't your fault.
No, it was spontaneous. So I'd done some home brewing, and but you know, really came not from a home brewing background, but from a professional brewing background.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about some Boston Beer Company myths and legends, especially since we're on this homebrew kick, you know, already. The myth says, and you've said it yourself in both the commercials and kind of the Boston beer description, that Sam Adams Boston Lager came from a family recipe that you discovered and then first brewed in your kitchen, much like us homebrewers do. Is that a
yep.
marketing myth, or that's the truth?
No, that's the truth. I mean, you know, you got to remember, my family had made beer for 140 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be surprising if we didn't have any recipes.
Sure.
So we had various family recipes that my father had saved, and he had them literally in a trunk up in the attic and under a pile of car magazines, because in his last brewmaster job, it was far away, and he didn't come home except for the weekends and some Wednesday nights, and so he'd read car magazines, and oddly enough, they were in there.
Okay.
That's where the recipe came from, and it's actually an interesting piece of sort of beer archaeology to, you know, to drink a glass of Sam Adams Boston Lager, knowing that this was pretty representative of what American brewers were brewing in sort of the golden age
really?
Of American brewers back in so the 1870s and 80s when, you know, the American brewers, mainly German immigrants who came over from Bavaria and other parts of Germany and brought lager brewing here, they were making some of the best beers in the world.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the 20th century that those beers, you know, began to be lightened up and changed their character.
Sure.
But back in, you know, the second half of the 19th century, American beers were winning awards all over the world.
Yeah. And that hasn't happened again until very recently. So.
Right.
See,
right.
That is interesting to know, too, because you know, a lot, even craft beer enthusiasts, especially if you're kind of new to craft beer, if you put Sam Adams Boston Lager next to a traditional, well, what we would think is a traditional lager, and also next to a pale ale, well, you'd
yep.
think that Boston Lager was an ale. Because it has the
yes.
it has the amber color, it's darker, yet it's not, it's a lager. And you're saying that that's actually much more kind of American traditional, what was being brewed here.
Oh, absolutely. Because
yeah.
People have this complete misperception of lagers that is driven by the lagers that are normally available to Americans, the, you know, the Bud Miller and Coors types of light, you know, American lagers.
Yeah.
But a lager is not necessarily, you know, lighter in flavor or color, less hoppy. None of those things is inherent to the lager brewing process.
Right.
And you can see that when you pick up a double bock. A double bock is a lager.
Right.
But it's big, you know, very malty. It's so sort of the lager equivalent of a barley wine.
Sure.
So, yeah, as you know, lager is just the strain of yeast that you choose. And if you're choosing a lager yeast, you have to ferment it at lower temperatures, more slowly. You have to age it. So it's a, as a home brewer knows, a lager is a much more difficult beer to make than an ale.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the flaws are more evident mm-hmm. in a lager. So the brewing skills to make a lager are more demanding than an ale, and as a result, most of the craft beers, particularly in the beginning, were ales, because if you're a home brewer, that's what you make, and that's easier to make, and, you know, you can make more in the same brewery because you turn your tanks faster because you don't have to age it. But that sort of myth that, you know, small craft brewers make ales and the mass domestic brewers make lagers,
yeah.
Well, it's a fact, but it has no, you can't go any further than that with it.
Sure, absolutely, that makes sense. Okay, how about this? As I kind of geek out around the internet searching for rare beer trivia and different things to use on the radio, I come across an argument about whether or not Samuel Adams, the original Samuel Adams, was a brewer or a maltster. And I think that in your company history, you say, you know, Samuel Adams was a brewer, and you got the great caricature of him there with a nice big beer in his hand. But others say, nope, he was a maltster. What do you think?
I can settle that one.
Beautiful.
He was a brewer, and we know that because someone once sent us a copy of an invoice that Samuel Adams had signed, the original invoice with his original signature, and it was an invoice for hops.
Okay. Don't need those to be a maltster.
Dealers don't buy hops.
Yeah.
Brewers buy hops.
Okay. All right.
Most of the historical accounts call him a brewer. And what happened is maltster was kind of another term for brewer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, I don't know what the sort of slang for brewer.
Okay. So maybe that's just where the confusion came from. It was just a vernacular used at the time.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Okay, here's my favorite Boston Beer Company myth, and I'm going to be totally honest with you, Jim. I've only recently discovered that this was a myth, and I'll explain it to you as me as a beer consumer of how my impression went until I educated myself about Boston Beer Company. And that impression is this. Because you are on television, and because your commercials are out there so often, and because I can find Boston Lager in so many places across the country, it was my assumption for a long time that you were pretty much just the same as any of the other big three breweries. That you were just as large, that you weren't exactly handcrafted ales, and a lot of it had to do, like I said, with your availability, but I think more so, people, if they see something on television, they assume it's a large entity. And you, among all of the other craft breweries, let's take, if I can, let's take Sierra Nevada, for example.
Sure.
Who is a
wonderful beer.
Great beer, and obviously a huge craft brewery. Yet they don't spend any part of their advertising budget on television. And I'm going to go ahead and make the assumption. Here's what I ended up thinking when I educated myself about Boston Beer Company. That the only difference between you and a Sierra Nevada, who I always considered a craft brewery, is that you spend some of your budget on television. And that gave me this misconception that you're just like one of the big three.
Okay. Well, it's obviously a complete misconception. Just to give you rough order of magnitude, somebody like, you know, Anheuser-Busch is 100 times our size.
Right.
I mean, they literally spill more beer than we make in
wow.
a year.
Okay.
So we are, you know, the largest craft brewer, but that's like being the tallest pygmy. you know, you're not ready for the NBA.
Yeah.
So it is any of us, me, Sierra, the smallest local brew pub, we are all at a completely different scale than somebody like the big American brewers.
Okay.
And that's not good or bad. That's just,
sure.
you know, the fact of who we are. It's Sam Adams. And I have always been a big believer in educating people about beer. And people ask me, you know, who's your biggest competition, Jim? And my answer has always been ignorance and apathy.
Yeah.
People who don't know about beer and people who don't care about beer.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things I've always tried very hard to do is to educate people about beer and give them reasons why they should care about better beers, with the idea that ultimately we can expand the market for quality craft beer. And that's a good thing for Sam Adams. It's a good thing for the beer drinker. It's a good thing for other craft brewers.
Yeah.
If the market for craft beer becomes larger, and as a result, craft beers are more readily available, and there's a more variety of them. And before I was doing TV, I was on radio.
Yeah.
Just the same kind of thing, showing them that there are other kinds of beer than the mass-produced domestic beers, and that there are small, independent, traditional brewers like Sam Adams that are crafting flavorful beers that are different.
Yeah.
Maybe not better or worse than the, you know, the big domestic beers, but at least they're different, they're more flavorful, and you ought to give them a try, and maybe you'll like them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've definitely been a pioneer in that regard, because there's not a beer drinker I know that doesn't know about Sam Adams Boston Lager, so that's quite an accomplishment in itself.
Well, I think that's pretty cool, because do you know what our market share is in the United States?
I do, but why don't you tell my listeners?
it's a little over 0.5%.
That's amazing.
So we're a little over 1/200th of the beer in the United States.
It really is amazing when you think about the exposure of Sam Adams and where you can find it, that it still is that small of a number.
Well, we're sort of like Porsche, I think. You know, I mean, everybody, BMW, everybody knows about BMW and Porsche.
Yeah.
But when you look at their market share, they're almost infinitesimal. It's just that they're very well known because they represent a different standard of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great analogy. All right, so while we're talking about quality and beer, let's start talking about Boston Beer specifically. I toured your facility where I got to see the smaller
Justin,
copper
you
kettle.
You can't say facility.
I can't.
We call that a brewery.
My fault.
No, it's a brewery.
Oh, calling me out right there. All right, you're absolutely right. I saw your small brewery.
Everybody does that. Yeah, good.
And do you correct everybody too? Don't call it a facility.
Yes. It's not a facility. Some people even call it a factory. factory? I said, no, it's not a factory, it's a brewery.
That's the thorn in your
factories
side.
Factories make cars, breweries make beer.
All right, I don't blame you. I do stand corrected. I appreciate it. The copper kettle system is what I saw. So it's your smaller, kind of your pilot batch system, is that what I was looking at?
I think so. You came to the brewery here in Boston?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I got the tour there.
That's where we started. That was our original brewery.
Okay.
And, I mean, you were there. It's in the middle of a... It's an old brewery. It's been a brewery since late 1860s.
Okay.
And it's now in a neighborhood, but that was where we started. And, of course, we've outgrown it now, but we're still brewing beer there. That's where all our beers start. It's where we perfect the recipes, and then we make them exactly the same way. As we take them typically to the brewery that we bought in Cincinnati about 10 years ago.
Okay. Now, are you brewing personally on that brew system you have there? When's the last time you jumped in there and brewed yourself a batch?
You know, it was last year. I actually did some brewing with my son.
Oh, cool.
So that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, he was working at the brewery in between jobs, and we went down there. We made a couple of batches of beer, and that was a lot of fun.
What'd you make?
We actually, it was Samuel M's White Ale.
Oh, no kidding.
Which is our spring seasonal.
Okay. How many styles of beer does Boston Beer actually make? Because that's an interesting thing, too, which will lead me into how you decide where to distribute which beers. Because it seems like every region I go to, I can find a Sam Adams beer that I didn't know existed. So how many
oh, that's
ones?
Cool.
It really is. Like on the West Coast, there's really, which is where I'm at, there's really a different selection of beers than I found on the East Coast. And I don't know if that's intentional or...
No. Here's kind of how it works.
Okay.
We make roughly two dozen different beers.
Wow.
And release... what you would think of as commercial release. There's another typically half dozen or so beers, maybe 10, that we'll make, and we'll sell, a few batches of them. I mean, through a network of bars, we'll basically take anything that we make because they think it's interesting and cool. So there are beers that we make. You can taste them at the brewery. We try to have one or two unique beers for people who come to the brewery in Boston that are not very widely available at all. Things like, oh, we just made a Finnish sati, which is made with juniper boughs. Thought that would be a lot of fun. So we'll do very experimental beers that probably have no market, but we want to brew them. And one of the nice things about, you know, Samuel M's been pretty successful, so it's got a very good name, and we can, you know, do a few batches of pretty much anything that we want to do if we're interested in a style, and there's enough places that'll sell it so that we can run out our tanks, and we make the things that we want to try.
Yeah.
So we'll do those. And then there's another, you know, about two dozen beers that we will release on a somewhat larger scale. And it's a gradation from, you know, something like Sam Adams Utopias that we'll make, you know, we'll release it every, say, 2 years. Whenever we have something really interesting that we think's worth releasing, we'll release another version of the Utopias, but we'll have maybe 10,000 bottles for the whole world.
Right.
And then, you know, Sam Adams Lager is pretty much the flagship, and that'll be the first beer that a given market will get.
Okay.
And what happens in the middle is really the distributor decides. You know, we'll offer all of our beers to our distributor, let's say, in San Francisco, but they may not take everything that we make. They might decide that they don't want to take the honey porter,
yeah,
or they can't get shelf space for the pale ale or the cream stout,
sure,
so, or the brown ale. You know, they'll decide that the retailers are only going to give us X amount of space.
Yeah.
So depending on where you are in the country and the kind of stores, like you're out in San Francisco, it's mostly grocery stores where you sell beer, and you'll get a pretty, you'll get a more limited selection at
right.
a grocery store. But if you go to Beverages and More,
right,
or a store like that, you might, they'll have maybe twice as many styles.
Exactly.
And then you come to, you know, a place like Denver where it's not grocery stores but liquor stores, you know, you might, there might be a whole door of Sam Adams styles, and you'll get, you know, the pale ale and the brown ale and the black lager and the Boston ale and the cream stout and the honey porter.
Yeah.
You'll get all of our seasonals. You might get the Patriot Collection, which was four unique beers we made this summer that came from recipes from Samuel Adams' friends, people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison.
Nice.
You know, we made those beers, but we didn't make those for wide distribution. We made it because we thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool, actually.
Yeah, and because Sam Adams has been successful, and because, you know, I like making beer, we get to do beers that we think are really cool. Whether they're going to sell in big amounts or not, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, we can sell enough of them so that we can actually do a couple of brews, and if they don't sell in big numbers, I don't care.
Right. Hey, that's a great attitude. That's a brewer's attitude if I ever heard one.
I'm very lucky. I feel sometimes like the Willy Wonka of beer. You know, I get to just go into the brewery, and if I can dream up a beer, I
yeah.
can go make it.
I think if I worked for you, I would like to think of you as the Willy Wonka of beer. It'd make my job more fun.
It is a good job.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about the beer, and I didn't get to try it, unfortunately, because you weren't serving it, but I saw a bottle on the shelf in your tasting room, and it was, now that you tell me how much you like to just experiment with beer, I'm not so surprised, but I was surprised to see when I was there that you brew a lambic.
Oh, yeah.
That really blew me away that you guys would have a lambic.
Yeah, we can't get anybody to drink it because it's so, you know, the lambic taste is
yeah.
so unusual.
Yeah.
And one of the constraints that we put on ourselves that goes back to our basic values and what I said I had in mind when I started the company. I said I wanted to make great, flavorful beer and give it to people fresh.
Yeah.
And so one of our constraints is if we make a beer, but it doesn't sell enough to stay fresh, i.e. it doesn't turn over on the shelves so that it ends up going stale.
Yeah.
When we start selling stale beer, we pull it. We stop making that style.
Okay.
So that's why you'll see something like our lambic there at the brewery. We like to drink it.
Yeah.
So we make it. You know, there are some bars in New England and New York that will take kegs of that.
Okay.
And so, you know, we can do a brew. We don't have to dump it. We can actually, you know, find some really cool beer bars that will take things like that.
Yeah.
And even in other places. One year, I think, you know, Dave at the Tornado took some, maybe
cool.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
So there are really good bars that will take interesting beers that we make. But if we try to, you know, put that into broader distribution,
yeah.
we're going to do something that I never wanted to do, which is have stale beer
right.
that we're serving to consumers. And no matter how good it is when it left the brewery, if it's stale beer and it says Sam Adams, I don't want it out there.
Hey, that's what you got, quality control. You know, you're the first line
of
defense.
People pay a lot of money for a Sam Adams beer, and I believe we have a reputation with good beer drinkers that if it's a Sam Adams beer, you know, you may not like the style, you may not like one thing or another about it, but it's going to be a great beer
yeah.
that you can respect.
Sure.
And if it's stale, then it, no matter how good it was when we made it, it's a ripoff.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, that's why we pioneered consumer legible freshness dating on all our beer. You can pick up a bottle of Sam Adams, no matter what beer it is we make. You can look on the left-hand side of the label, and it says, for brewery fresh taste, purchase before month notched.
Yeah.
And it's plain English. You don't need any codes or anything like that. It's right there, and it tells you whether the beer is fresh or not, because we don't want consumers to buy it if it's not fresh.
Absolutely.
If you get if you're buying a Sam Adams, no matter how good I made it, and you look at it and it's not fresh, don't buy it. There's plenty of other good beers out there to buy.
Right.
Don't buy stale Sam Adams.
There you go. That's great advice too. you are terrible at marketing.
No. You know, it's like I said, people drink the beer.
Yeah,
and
no,
if I give people a good beer every time, I'll have loyal customers.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, let me just about the Lambic quickly, too, because I am curious. Because of the type of yeast or actually bacteria involved in brewing a Lambic, do you have an isolated system that you do the Lambic in, or are you able to cleanse your equipment enough to brew in the same vessels that you brew the rest of your beer?
Well, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
As you noticed, we age it in wooden barrels.
Yeah.
So we do put it into, you know, different vessels to allow all those, you know, nice and sometimes not so nice bugs to give it that wonderful character.
Yeah.
But, you know, it goes through the same brew kettles. And the same tanks for the initial fermentation, and then we develop the lambic flavor in the wooden barrels.
Okay.
And you can do that. It's not that daunting. If you have really good standards of sanitation in your brewery, you can manage multiple yeast strains. I mean, the German brewers, you know, do it all the time with the regular lager yeast and then the Brettanomyces that they use.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if it's
yeast they use at W68 is very aggressive yeast. That's like a ninja.
Is that right?
You get that. Yeah, if that gets into the rest of your system, it'll obliterate the, you know, the Saccharomyces carlsbergensis that you're using to make your lagers. It'll just overrun it. So you know, you got to be really careful. But German brewers do it all the time. We've been doing it for 20 years.
Okay, I know that this is a common question for you, but my listeners wouldn't accept it if I didn't ask you about Utopias, and you mentioned it earlier.
Sure.
And I actually was lucky enough to see the barrel room with the Utopias in it too when I was at your brewery. My question is, what on earth were you thinking? And I think what brewers want to know too is, you know, how on earth do you do that? And I got to try it for the first time at GABF.
Yes.
Which, by the way, there was rumors floating around that you were there serving it yourself and chugging it out of the bottle in between samples for others.
Well, I was there serving it myself.
Yeah.
I did have to do a little quality control and make sure it was good. Chugging it, no, I'd be in detox if I were chugging Utopias. That is so far away from chuggable. But I was doing aggressive and frequent quality control.
That a boy.
Yes. And as to what was I thinking, well, Utopias began as Triple Bock. It was really the first of what's now we dubbed Extreme Beer. Back in 1993, I got the idea of sort of breaking the sound barrier for beer and taking beer beyond the sort of 13.5% percent alcohol that everybody thought was kind of a natural limit of beer, and I thought I can see a path to get significantly above that, and once you get beyond that, I'm really not sure what I'm going to see. It was kind of like start you know, Starship Enterprise
yeah.
of beer. Let's take beer where no beer has gone before
right.
and see what we discover in these new wild worlds. And that was, I called that extreme beer.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot of people doing really cool things with beer, pushing out lots of different boundaries and constraints. And that was really the idea, is just take beer where no beer has gone before
yeah.
and see what we discover when we get there.
But with yours in particular, I mean, I think the most, it seems like the most daunting task is that brewer's yeast doesn't want to survive in an environment that you're creating in that high of an alcohol content. So that is a feat within itself.
Yeah, we had to recruit some additional yeasts and sort of help them mutate, if you will, and push them along.
Okay.
And, you know, it's before you get to the yeast not surviving, you have the you know, other brewer's issue of just getting it to metabolize sugars.
Yeah.
Because they get pretty attenuated up above 16-17% alcohol. So, you know, we've been at this for, you know, going on 15 years of
okay.
figuring out how to propagate and how to feed our little friends the yeast.
Yeah.
So we've learned a lot over the years. So it didn't, and it, you know, we didn't start at 25-26% alcohol. We started around 17, and
okay.
it's taken almost 15 years to get up where we are.
Wow. So, without asking you to give out any proprietary secrets, are you adding any yeast in there that's not traditionally brewer's yeast, or is it all brewer's yeast of some form or another?
No, there are some non-traditional
okay.
yeast.
Okay. Yeah, see, guys, I just, well, I don't know, we're fascinated by that because we, as brewers, as home brewers, we definitely know the challenge of making big beers. You know, the bigger you get, the more difficult it becomes.
Yeah, you have to almost reverse the feeding regimens of them because, you know, what you can get them to consume when they're at these really high alcohol levels
yeah.
Is not what's going to be left from your wort. Because, you know, you got two things working against each other. The yeast gets weaker at the same time that the sugars that you're asking it to consume become more complex and therefore more difficult for the yeast.
Okay. I know you're a busy guy, Jim. Two more questions? Do you got time for that?
Oh, of course.
Okay, fantastic.
Sure.
I want to talk to you about the Samuel Adams homebrew competition that you did just this past year. And
oh, great. Yeah, that was really a lot of fun.
It seemed like a lot of fun. And I also know, and maybe not everybody knows this, not only did you put it out to the public, but you also had an internal homebrew competition where you allowed employees of Boston Beer Company to brew and enter beers as well, right?
Yeah, we've been doing the Boston Beer Company internal competition for 4 or 5 years, and it's always been one of those things that was a lot of fun, and it helped bind the company together and helped everybody at Boston Beer Company understand and appreciate the core thing that we do, which is make beer.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get over 90% of our people homebrewing. Most of the company makes homebrew for this competition, and we give everybody a kit, we make an instructional video, I give them some pointers, and then we send them out to homebrew, and people, they're in teams, and they egg each other on, and we have this thing called the beer cup, and people get really excited about it.
Yeah.
And we get some really good beers.
That's
and then
cool.
we taste them, and the winners traditionally have gotten trip to the GABF or trip to the Munich Oktoberfest, so there's some cool
wow.
prizes.
Yeah, that is a cool
and,
prize.
You know, and then there's just bragging rights. And for us, it has meant that, you know, whether you're, you know, in accounting or logistics or sales, you know how to make beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always wanted to make sure that Boston Beer Company stayed a company of brewers.
Sure.
And this reinforces that. And this year we decided that we would take the winning Boston Beer Company homebrew and add it to the two winners that we got from the homebrewing community and release them together in the Long Shot six-pack.
And that's actually what I discovered while I was at the brewery tour, too. I got to try two of the winners from the homebrew and one from the internal competition. They were all fantastic. So I was happy to hear
that. They were amazing.
They really were.
That Dortmunder was just spot on, and that's a difficult style,
yeah,
as most homebrewers know. And then Don Oliver's Old Ale,
yeah,
was also a really nice beer. It's pushing 10% ABV, so it was a fun beer to make. And,
sure,
and some of the other judges were asking me, like, Jim, are you sure you want to Brutus and release it commercially? And I'm just like, guys, may the best beer win.
Yeah.
So don't worry about you know, those kinds of things. Let's pick the best beer. Let's pick something we want to expose beer drinkers to. Okay, most of them will find it too much beer for their palate, but let's push people's palate, because
yeah,
when Sam Adams Lager came out, it was an extreme beer. You know, the idea of, you know, 13 OG and 30 IBUs, that itself was extreme brewing back in 1984.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. Why not keep it going? We can do that again.
Yeah, the envelope is out there. Let's push it.
Yeah. Now, I want to mention something about the competition, because I'm very involved in the homebrew community. I read a lot of the forums that are out there. We have a forum ourselves, and the majority of homebrewers, and really the vast majority of homebrewers, were really excited about the competition, and they thought that it was really cool that they could possibly win and have their recipe, their beer, be brewed on a large scale. There was a small number of critics who were put off when they got the entry form and they had to sign over the rights to the entire beer. And there was a bit of a debate going on for a while about why on earth Sam Adams would be interested in homebrewers in the first place, why they'd want to hold a competition like this, and that maybe they're just trying to make money off of us because we're signing over our beer to them. And there were lots of arguments on both sides, but I just wonder what you would say to that.
Oh, the reason for signing over the rights is so that we don't end up getting sued. You just find it with any creative process. For example, if you send a movie script into a studio, they won't accept it, because if you do and you don't have the rights to it, and then you later, in our case, let's say we make a beer that you know, looks like one of the 1500 homebrews that we got,
yeah,
we could be sued by that person who says, oh, I made a honey porter and now you're making a honey porter and you know, you can't do that.
Sure.
So that's the reason. I certainly hope that everybody who entered felt well treated, and I'm pretty confident that the guys who did enter and win feel very happy,
yeah,
that they entered and are really delighted with the whole process.
Absolutely. I actually think that in hindsight everybody was really happy about the competition, but I definitely wanted to give you a chance just to address that, because it was really everybody else addressing it. And
yeah,
and nobody asking Jim, you know, it was asking everybody else what they thought. So I just,
yeah, well, you learn after a while that, you know, you do the right thing, and you can't expect everybody to understand and appreciate it. And that's okay. Over time, you know, you build some trust. So hopefully we have some trust with the homebrew community, because for me, it's been a very, very important part of craft beer. And I have this discussion with fellow craft brewers, particularly now when a lot of people have come in to craft brewing in the last 10 or 15 years, and they don't remember what it was like at the beginning.
Yeah.
At the beginning, craft brewers, us who had quote-unquote gone pro, were tolerated and supported by the homebrew community. And they were, in those early days, this wonderful refuge of supporting people who understood what we were trying to do. And I remember those early days when craft brewing barely survived, and homebrewers were our biggest and sometimes our only supporters. And I always thought, you know, if Sam Adams is ever successful, I'm not going to forget the homebrewers who helped me at the very beginning of the craft brewing movement. And this is my way of kind of honoring that pledge.
Okay, last question then, and I just want to know your take on the future. Craft beer is back on the rise. In fact, probably more so than ever before. The way the production is going, and the numbers of new places opening, and just how good the beer is now. So I'm really curious about what you see happening to you know, all of us in the future in the industry, and. You know, and in addition to that, will there continue to be room for new brewers as we keep going forward like this?
Well, there's a couple of questions there, Justin, so let me try to pick them off and in the, kind of roughly the order that you ask them. I'm very excited that craft brew, it seems to be exploding again. I think it's a wonderful confirmation of, you know, those of us who've been in it since the beginning, who, you know, started when it was tough, who enjoyed all those easy years back in the beginning of the 90s, into the middle of the 90s, and have, you know, persevered and remained committed to the idea of great American beer. And I think consumers now have turned a corner. And I don't think they're going to go back. I think now that craft beer has begun to enter the fringes of the mainstream consciousness about beer, people are going to continue to drink more and more craft beer, because once you try it, it's hard to go back. It may not be your only beer, but when you have something like a Samuel Adams or many of the other craft beers, the flavor is a revelation.
Yeah.
And it becomes part of your repertoire of beers that you drink, and it's hard to stop.
It's nearly
impossible. I'm very optimistic. Yeah, you can't really go back once you've tasted a great beer.
It's
you're
true.
Always going to remember that taste, and you're going to want it.
Yeah.
Maybe not with every, you know, beer drinking occasion, but you're going to want it.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think there are opportunities for people starting breweries today. The thing that I would caution, I guess, is, you know, if you're going to show up at the party, bring something.
Yes.
By which I mean, don't just make, you know, some generic American pale ale, you know, that we could all, you know, write the recipe down in our sleep. But we don't need more of those. We don't need, you know, another brown ale. There's plenty of good ones out there. If you're going to start something, bring some creativity. Bring something new to the beer drinker. You know, you think about the last 10 years, and the really successful startups are people like Sam Calagione at Dogfish Head,
yeah,
that, you know, just went way off center And made some really great beers, or Vinny at Russian River, or Tommy Arthur at Pizza Port. They're doing great, great things with beer, really, really cool things. So
yeah,
show up and do cool things. Don't make, you know, another Hefeweizen, another IPA, another brown ale. There's plenty of good ones out there.
All right, fantastic. Okay, Jim, well, I do really appreciate you taking the time to spend with us and let us know about Boston Beer Company and about yourself, for that matter. Thanks a lot for hanging out.
Well, it was...
Entertainment you want. Information you need.
The Brewing Network.
Fix your door.
Better get out of my general store.
Well, you sold me one, you can sell me one more.
I ain't gonna sell you no beer no more.
D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. Water pretty ladies if they give me the eye.
I told you once, I told you twice, drinking and driving is a bad man's vice.
And a left, left, right, and a right, right, left. Clean my plate.
You can go out for lunch, don't be late.
I take a Tanqueray and Darby set out on a double date.
You can pop them in the Pontiac, but bring back the bait.
D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
Boys will be boys, men will be men. You know what you've done, don't do it again.
I'm gonna do it again. Gonna do it again.
You're on the interstate, you're going slow.
I missed my turn, which way do I go?
Step out of the car, you're going to jail.
No! D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt your head back and touch your nose.
What?
Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt your head back and touch your nose. Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt your head back and touch your nose. Now recite backwards the alphabet.
Up yours, pig, you do that shit. D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. Four pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye. Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt your head back, touch your nose. Walk the line, heel to toe, play the guitar, go do go. Get my head back and touch your nose. Walk in the line, heel to toe. Get my head back and touch your nose.
Put your hands on your hips, follow the pen.
I can't hear you, sir. Say it again.
Put your hands on your hips and follow the pen.
You know I fucked your sister in the back of my van.
Put your hands on your hips, follow the light.
Sir, I just want to go home tonight. D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. Cocaine start night, 4th of July. Told you once, told you twice. Drinking and driving is a bad man's vice. Told you once, told you twice. Drinking and driving is a bad man's vice. Told you once, told you twice. Drinking and driving is a bad man's vice.
You're listening.
listening to Three Guys.
Excuse me, what about me?
Sorry. You're listening to Three Guys and One Girl. Use a radio show as an excuse to drink more beer. The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Yeah, the great Jim Cook from the Boston Beer Company, otherwise known as Samuel Adams. I don't know why I didn't ask that question.
What? Do people actually call him Sam?
Well, that's a good question. Why not they call him
Mr. Sam? Adams?
The thing is, it's funny because when you talk to them, they say both Sam Adams and Boston Beer Company. And I think Boston Beer Company ended up because they had to build another brewery in Cincinnati to keep up, and they had to sort of incorporate and that whole deal. And
I think, don't they do contract brewing for other people?
I think they do a little bit of that, too.
So I think that's why they had to do that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed the interview. That was Jim Cook from the Samuel Adams Brewing Company, a Boston Beer Company. And I had a lot of fun doing it. If you missed the interview because, you know, you were drinking and hanging out with us, then that's fine because I'm going to be putting it up as its own download. And I'll probably put that up tonight just like I do the regular archive. Also, real quick, at the end of the interview there, you heard the new version of the DUI song from Pillbilly Nights. And I like the new version, too. I like both versions. I might mix up between the old version and the new version. And it's good music. They actually sent me their entire new album, which is called California Nightclub. And they spell night wrong, so it's actually like knife club because they're drunk, I guess, and they say knife.
Knife?
Yeah.
Are they from Spain too?
It's a knife.
It's a knife. Yeah, I think the California Knife Club is very nice.
But we're probably gonna have to take one more break tonight because we got some more taste to go through, and I got another song off of their album that I'm gonna play at that break, and
Did
I guarantee
you
another thong, and I guarantee it's gonna become one of our Brewing Network classics.
Yeah, that's what you've been saying. I'm interested.
An awesome song, Doc. You especially are gonna like it.
Okay, good.
It's like right up your alley, and it's off of their album.
How do you know about my alley?
Yeah. Who doesn't know about your alley?
Chocolate Alley.
Pillbilly Nights is that band who played at the end there. So,
cool.
Listen, if you want to thank Jim Cook, I don't have his email, but they don't give that out.
I'm sure it's jim@samadams.com.
It could be. You could try that. But just, you know, you could send emails to their contact, and it's probably going to get to his assistant, and which we'll get to him. And
yeah, he does seem very open to the brewing community. So I'm sure if you send praise for the interview, that his assistant will pass it on. I don't think it's like some of these other bigger breweries that won't happen.
He'll get it. And he may not respond, but I guess what I'm saying is it's always good to let these folks know that you're happy they came on here and spent some time with us.
Totally.
And he did. He spent a lot of time. And I have a bit of a new respect for the whole company. I actually think, I'm telling you, you could really tell in every answer that he's just into beer. He's a beer geek, just like we are.
Yeah.
And you don't always find that, especially when you're talking about the big guys. I'll tell you, I think we've been lucky. And maybe just in who we scoped out, but a lot of the microbrewers that we would consider big microbrewers have been so cool and so geeky, just like we are, that we felt right at home. And so, of course, you know, I'm talking about Dan Gordon and Sean O'Sullivan. Let's put his name out there just so he, you know.
So he feels better.
Now, you know, I'm talking about the guys who not only have their taps, but they're distributing huge amounts of beer.
Right.
And so Jim Cook and Dan Gordon, just a couple of these guys who you end up talking to, and it's just as if you were at a homebrew club meeting. And that's how Jim was.
That's really good. When you get up to a certain level, you have to run the business.
Yeah.
And then you get into that whole business thing, and you kind of lose, you know, the whole beer geekiness thing. And it's cool that they're still holding on to that, not letting it go to, I got to run the business and I can't talk to you guys anymore.
Well, he was honest about that, too. You know, I asked him, when's the last time you actually are the guy who got in there and did some brewing? And he said it was last year, you know, so it's been a while. But he did it with his kid. I guess his kid was doing kind of a summer internship at the brewery. And then him and his kid went out there and they brewed one of their batches on the now it's like their pilot system, but it was their original. It was Sam Adams' original system, and he got out there and got his hands dirty.
Kids on the payroll, deductible now.
Yeah. And, you know, that's right.
My kids are on the payroll.
Yeah. Parker's going to pull my teeth.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you guys heard it in the beginning. I started the interview because something I was fascinated about. The guy has, I think he ended up saying, I thought he had just graduated from Harvard. He's got like two or three different degrees from Harvard. I mean,
he's no dummy.
He's no slouch when it comes to knowing some stuff
and things about
stuff. We like to say.
And a lot of
in the education
loans.
Business?
Yeah, as far as like learning new things, obviously he's a very capable guy.
Yeah. And it was cool because I talked to him and I'm asking him, you know, and we had a couple conversations off the air too, and I'm asking him, so here you are, this guy, you come from a family of brewers, and you go to Harvard, and he was pre-law, I think, at Harvard, so he, fully ready to become a lawyer, and then he was also, he has a business degree.
Just didn't get in.
Well, he's ready to go. Yeah, maybe that. Well, but here he was all ready to do something where you just go and you make a bunch of cash and you go sit on your yacht. You know, and I think that even his family was telling him, you know, don't go in the beer business. We've been doing this.
Especially not when, like, 82 or 83 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 85.
85.
84, 85. And he's like, look, we've been doing it for generations. You could move forward. But he didn't. And that was, it's what he got into. And obviously he was smart about it. You know, it takes a brain cell or two to make it happen. Anyway, overall, I was really happy with the time spent. So
it was a good interview, man.
I'll put the interview up on the archive page, and you can download it individually too.
For $10.
Yeah,
of course.
I think you said that he's going to be in town sometime this year.
Well, he said. Well, here's what he said. He comes to town semi often.
Yeah,
it's a big market for them, and there's always different events going on. And by the way, he works with the Brewers Association a lot, so wherever they're doing things, he's there too.
Yeah.
So he said, if he can, he said it happens kind of, it happens that he's here on Sundays. I mean, that's the bitch of our show.
Yeah.
It's great for us and for the listeners because it's the day that we're all kind of hanging out. But for the guys in the biz, man, Sunday's go home day. It's relaxed with the family. You've been working and traveling all week. But he did say if he's here, he's going to do it. So
that'd be so awesome.
Good. It would be.
That'll
cool.
be like a 2-hour interview. Because I think that in the chat room, people were just, they were like, we need live questions from
exactly.
this guy.
Well, Gucci, one of our Gucci, users and longtime friend of the station, he said, I think a great show would be to get both Dan and Sam Adams.
Knocking heads
East
in
West,
here.
Huh?
And Jim Cook in the studio at one
knocking
time.
Knocking heads in here. That'd be good.
It would be a little East meets West. They'd have their own Dick Hawk fight. I don't know if they'd go for it. But
I think they would.
I'll put JP in the middle.
Yeah.
All right, and we're about to really fire through these tastings, and we're going to do that in just a second. I do want to say this. So for the first time, we as brewcasters, aside from Daniela, all got to hang out in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've said it before, and I guess I kind of said it just off of word of mouth. You got to come and do the live show and hang out with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
How cool was that chat room?
That was good.
It was good, yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to keep up with. Everyone's talking so much. I've, felt more retarded than I am.
Especially jumping in the middle like we do. We don't, there's conversation after
going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, probably from the beginning of the friggin' show.
No, but they catch you. But I felt like they catch you right up with that. And that every new user that comes in, they really kind of bring you right up to speed, or at least just start a new thing.
As long as JP saw something that said anal, he jumped right in.
He was happy. Yeah. But I had a lot of fun, and now I kind of feel like I ought to play recorded interviews all the time, so I just hang out in the chat room.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, I'm not gonna, guys, don't worry. No. But I feel like that was a lot of fun.
I need a designated typer.
Yeah, Doc's like, I love the chat room. I
can't type. Can we get someone to type?
I can't type, it's just my fingers. I just don't do it.
So I guess what I'm saying is I am now really giving my seal of approval and personal endorsement that you guys, if you're hanging out on Sunday nights and listening live, get your ass in that chat room. Those guys are fun. And girls, too.
Yes. And Bub.
Who's his own
thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for that opportunity, everybody. That was fun to hang out with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Except for Gucci, because he's an ass.
Beer tastings, Daniela? Is that what we're up to now?
I think we're going to do that.
Okay.
So Zymergist, can we resuscitate people that way? He'll know what that means.
You got to type.
No. Okay. He's going to listen to that one.
Hey, you know what I didn't do, too? I didn't do those questions that I said I was going to do that have been in my inbox.
Which questions?
Oh.
Said at the beginning they're going to clear those out.
We should do one after every tasting.
Well, we'll see. There's only a couple. Let's get through these tastings, and if we're still coherent, we'll go through those questions. Otherwise, I'll have to do it at the beginning of next show.
All right, JP, you're going to be pouring.
All right, so well, the first one we've
okay,
already got
Chad,
poured
you're gonna be pouring.
Is blueberry mead from whom?
Let me see.
Can you?
It's from Jeff.
It's from, yeah.
I guess his screen name is Kegerator, and he sent us two different kinds of his mead. He sent us two bottles of blueberry mead and two bottles of vanilla mead.
With a very pretty butterfly on the label.
We are tasting the blueberry, right,
Mikkel? Yes, that's
is that
correct.
What we're
okay.
Yeah. He says the blueberry mead was made on October 25th of 2005 with 15 pounds of clover honey and 2 pounds of blueberries in a 5-gallon batch.
Nice.
Primary fermentation was in a glass carboy. Secondary and third was in corny kegs. The alcohol level is about 17%.
Wow.
So that's his lowdown on this blueberry mead, and we're trying that first because it's a sweet one, so we figured our palate would still be intact
that's
to move
a huge
on
alcohol
to the beer.
First thing I smell with this one, it reminds me of like the wax lips and the wax teeth that you have on Halloween.
Oh, I love those things.
And I just love it. It takes me back to my childhood.
I even smell black licorice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I smell like sarsaparilla, like root beer. It smells like black licorice. That's good.
And
yeah.
And sarsaparilla. That's true.
It's a big thing. Is it's aroma. It's
a 2-year-old mead.
It smells really good.
17%.
And it's
cracked
just
in like 10 years, man. Yeah, it's very clear. But
it's a nice rose color.
Wow, that's hot.
Two.
I like
a good
it.
Aroma.
Right, you got two of these.
Mm-hmm.
Can I take one?
Absolutely.
Good. And that 17% has hit really well. It's really
it's nice.
Really good.
Yeah, I think, well, what do you say here? Hang on. How many pounds was it? 15 pounds of clover honey did well to kind of match that high alcohol content, mm-hmm. right? A lot of sweet backbone to cover the heat.
Definitely.
Doc, put away close the laptop. I know you, and I know that you can't do two things at once.
Yeah, that's true.
To that. Five things at once.
Doc was still hanging out in the chat room with you guys. I'm sorry to take him away, but he won't focus if I don't.
Doc's still trying to figure out who Augustina Barina is. We don't need him in the chat room talking about golden showers or whatever.
I don't.
Is there anything wrong with this meat that anyone wants to point out, or are we just saying good job?
No. I don't think it's wrong. I think he should sit on it for another year, because I think it's still a little too hot for me.
Okay.
And maybe even a little, I don't know. I think it's good, but I would wait another year at least before I'd give it
out. If he can save any.
Yeah.
I think it's good now. But,
yeah.
You know, it might just, I think it's on the road to phenomenal.
I really, you're really liking it too. Yeah. I like it right now too. It's a sipper. I mean, you're not going to.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to slam a
question. Yeah, mead. Yeah, you don't want to chug mead.
But I think it's pretty damn complex, even with the heat of the alcohol, because it's not just hot, it's actually a little spicy, alcohol you get out of it.
It's great for a first date.
Yeah, that's right.
First date.
Because you
run out of roofies.
You have a beer.
I mean, this is honey roofie.
That's right. You're at least going to get a hand job with this one.
Oh, yeah.
Happy ending. I just want to say that
happy ending.
Yeah. Even if you go see like an action film, you're still going to have a happy ending.
Happy ending.
Yeah.
If you serve this at the end of the date.
If you serve it at the beginning, you get to go see that action film.
That's why Doc wanted the other one, so he can get a little action at home. Here, let me tell you about the other one since you're going to take it and enjoy it. The vanilla mead, which is the one you're going to take. Well, actually, there's another bottle of this one, too. If we were to taste a vanilla, which we're not going to right now, we might do a little bit later on. That one was brewed in March of 2006, also with 15 pounds of clover. Madagascar bourbon vanilla beans.
There you go.
And Saigon cinnamon.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Mike wants it now.
Sounds like a sex move.
You want to try it?
Mike thinks we need to open it.
Crack it.
I think.
Let's do it. What the hell?
Saigon cinnamon. You can't turn that down.
It's his vision of slant-eyed women.
You never respond to that.
Just have a quick taste.
I don't know what to say to that. This one is also 17%.
Thank you, my friend.
Jeff, you've done a great job so far, I'll tell you that. All right, so we're going to try the vanilla here.
Sounds like you made one batch of mead and split it between a vanilla and a blueberry.
Different color.
No, because one is 2005, one is 2006.
Yeah, Doc makes a good point. So, JP? Yeah.
I pulled a Doc, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought about...
Yeah, would have been funnier if you had said something like Augustina Baruna.
No, yeah, well, I'm not that funny.
So instead, you're just a wanker.
I don't remember it being that funny.
Oh, it was funny, Doc. So, Doc's like... So I keep seeing this Augustina Baruna rumor. And I'm like,
It's
that
a fact.
Ain't no rumor, man.
That's been confirmed.
It was one of your highest points, I'll tell you that. In more ways than one, you know. All right, so this one has, wow.
I smell the cinnamon.
A really light color. In fact, it's not even the golden yellow that you normally get. It's much lighter than that, even.
It's meaty.
It looks like ginger ale. It's like the color of a ginger ale. You know, a real light.
Or a nice Chardonnay.
Or exactly. That's, yep. Even that, it's a bit light,
too.
No,
it's a bit lighter than a Chardonnay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It smells like it smells like some really good French toast that you put cinnamon on. That's a compliment, by the way. That is...
I haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow morning.
Do you think so? You think it's got a little... Because it's got the sweet taste, mm-hmm. the sweet aroma plus the cinnamon that he put in there. Great aroma. That really smells great. And now Doc's had a drink. What do you think, Doc?
And I can taste what kind of cinnamon he put in it, too. There's a difference in the kind of cinnamons out there.
Do you remember which kind it was?
It was
it was like Saigon Sally or something like that. I added a Sally.
American GI.
Is it Cylon? Is it not Saigon, Cylon?
This one is not as hot as the other one.
No, it's not.
Although he says it's still 17%, but it is nowhere near. In fact, I'm going to say this one's a little more watery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm even getting that it's kind of watered
down. I wonder if
down.
He filtered it. Because Chris Graham made a real light mead once, and he filtered it for a wedding.
Mm.
And I think it took a lot of body out, even more so than in a beer. So I'm wondering maybe if he filtered it, but it's...
If I was at a wedding, I would drink the shit out of this mead.
Yeah, and then you'd end up throwing up on the bride.
I just want to say...
The nose is fantastic. It's
it's
cinnamon and vanilla.
Okay.
I don't get enough of it in the body and the flavor of it.
All right, Doc, you get your choice because I'm keeping the other one. You either get to take home the blueberry
two
bottle.
Of each.
Or we did, and we cracked one of each.
Two of each.
And okay.
Which leaves one of each. So you can either have the blueberry or
the
vanilla.
Oh, no, I'm taking both.
No, man. I'm making a because, Danielle, you like it too, right?
I'm not a big meat drinker.
Good, I get both.
So you don't like it?
Let's move on.
What's wrong with you? Don't act like a tart all of a sudden. You're allowed to say if you
I will
like
fight
it.
Over after this.
I'm just not big on meats. I can't say anything productive about them, constructive about them. I just don't like them too much.
Okay.
It's not my style.
So it was all shit to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, my wife really likes peds, so we're going to
Which
try.
One do you want?
Both.
All right.
Get lucky twice.
You can have both.
Exactly.
Yeah. Doc needs the help.
I'm going to sue you for that.
Yeah.
I already knew that. You didn't even have to say that you were
going to
sue me.
I'm going
to
sue you for knowing.
For knowing that you were going to sue me. All right. Let's go to the next one. What else do we have lined up?
Yeah, what
here?
Do we got? What do we got?
I think we were going to move on to a blonde beer. Daniela, do you have them lined up in order?
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
freaking lutely.
Real Ale 420 Blonde Ale.
Go ahead and do that into the microphone and let us know what which beer we got there.
Brian, it looks like his screen name might be Real Ale 420.
Okay.
Blonde Ale. We have his phone number. We should call him.
All right, so this is a Blonde Ale, and I think we tried one of his beers on before, but he had sent us a few different kinds, so we didn't get to all of them. Blonde Ale's a tough one to do.
Why is that, Justin?
Well, because it doesn't mask any of the off flavors. And now, it's not quite like a lager where it's completely clean, but anytime you get a light ale, you don't have anything to hide behind. You don't got a bunch of hops. You don't got a bunch of anything else.
It's true.
Isn't that right, Daniela?
That's totally true. I like blonde ales.
Great color.
Yeah, it's great colors. Clarity is great.
Yeah.
This little Belgian lace around the outside.
Yeah.
Good.
Ooh, it smells like a Kölsch.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing.
It does, right?
It smells like a Kölsch. It's got that slight fruitiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's how I describe the Kölsch smell. It's really, really clean with a little fruit.
Yeah.
And it's almost as clean as you can get while still having fruit in it.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of bubble gum.
Yeah. So it really smells like a Kölsch. We don't have any details of this beer unless it's on the bottle.
No, it's not.
I'm actually wondering right off the bat just from smelling it if he used Kölsch yeast. I guess you could use Cal Ale or Kolsch and still get that.
Wow,
fruitiness.
That's a good beer, dude.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's great.
Not to go all surfer dude on you, but
wow,
Jesus,
man,
yeah.
That beer is totally.
I'd totally
total.
Rip it up with this. It's good beer.
Yeah, you have your neighbors coming over with their. What do you want to do? And they've got their little glass out.
Yeah.
Hey, guy, can you come out and play?
It is really good. All right, for the sake
that's
of
tasty.
Keeping us moving through them, is there any one thing that you could pick out? About the beer that you want to talk about or that should be changed or
if
even
if I had to be a little
great.
Harsh on it, I'd say it's a little astringent.
Okay.
It's a little dry in the finish.
A little dry, a little grainy, and a little astringent.
So what does that come from?
A high sparging temperature or over sparging, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It could be that it's just a little old. That it's who knows how long it's been in your refrigerator.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Well, these kind of beers don't hold a long time.
Okay.
So that could be all it is, but I can tell if it wasn't before, it's a good beer. So,
Mr. McDowell, any one thing that you could pick out about it? It could be positive or negative. It's fine by me.
Well, I think it's a very, drinkable beer. I'm not quite sure it's a blonde ale. It seems like people have said more like a Kolsch.
Okay.
Bigger body beer than a blonde. Could be lighter.
It's definitely bigger body than a Kolsch.
Yeah, I would question the yeast. It sounds doesn't taste like a California yeast or something like that, which I would typically use in that beer. But.
Okay.
If he brewed it again, use a different yeast, everything the same?
Like the Kolsch yeast?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for a Kolsch or get over into the blonde side.
Okay. Or even try like an English yeast. It'll pull some more of the sweetness out of it and not be so dry and a little bit astringent. So, and watch the sparging temperature.
Okay. But overall, it's clean.
Oh yeah,
it sounds like you fermented at the right temperature.
Right,
and it
could be just that I'm picking up some astringency and some of that just because it's starting to age. It's losing its edge.
So could be our fault, not yours.
Our fault. You got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah.
Okay, your fault.
What a homo! What kind of team is this? If we don't get to all the beers because we're busy, it's my fault. Danielle, you tell me what kind of team that is. Doc, you take that back.
I'll take it back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Or I'll sue you.
Or I'm gonna. That was all of that was lingo for there's a lawsuit pending.
Yeah.
But you know, every time I'm reaching for a good beer in there, I'm grabbing one of those brown bottles in the bottom, and you say, "Hands off."
Yeah, you're not allowed to touch that.
We're not tasting those for a year.
I'm gonna put them on my roof for Christ's sake.
Those are our secret 1 year.
But actually, in all essence, you have treated them all well.
I did.
They go right in the refrigerator. They're all cold the whole time, so I can't fault you for that.
Okay, we got a new one.
And hopefully, we won't get backed up now that we're clearing our slate. What do we got?
You know what?
Monkey.
Getting old, you're gonna get backed up a little bit more.
Well, here, this will be the cure for you. Monkey Fist, Hefeweizen.
If a Monkey Fist doesn't work like Metamucil, I don't know what will.
That's true. I'm clogged. I prefer Monkey
now,
Fist.
Now, is that the name of the beer, or that's the user?
It's just a little piece of tape on it that says Monkey Fist, and then there's a slash that says
so where's
Hef,
the monkey at his fist?
Okay. So the beer's Monkey Fist.
The nose is pretty peppery.
Just for fun.
A little sulfur, too.
Would you be able to estimate... Did you taste it yet?
No, I'm only smelling it.
Would you... What guess would you take of what style of beer it is, just for fun, off of having taken the aroma?
Just the aroma? I wouldn't go half. I would probably go some experimental. It's almost got cinnamon quality to it.
Is there a little banana in the nose there?
Yeah.
That why you would say half?
Yeah, or an experimental vegetable beer kind of thing.
You know what? Have you tried it yet?
No.
No, hang on, don't say anything yet.
Okay.
Because I want to take a stab at what style I think it might have. Maybe it didn't go for a style at all. I just think it's fun.
I think for style, I think it was maybe more of like a pale or something like that.
Well, it has tones of a Hefeweizen, but it's not strong for any yeast that I know of that would produce that.
No.
Something like a wheat beer or something.
I think some kind of. I think he was going for a wheat of some, like an American wheat or I don't know if I'd go wheat
or
not.
That's really malty for a wheat beer.
It's an old Hef.
Is it just an old Hef?
It's an old Hef.
Okay.
I just tasted it. It's
so all the banana clove just went up in smoke.
Yeah, it's an old Hef, and this is what they do after they've aged. If you try to hold on to them too long, they do this. And it happens to mine, too. I brew a few kegs of it.
Yeah.
And I lose one in the back, and I pull it out. Oh, cool, I still have one, and it tastes like this. But it tasted totally different 6 months before.
Right.
To me,
and it stinks, too.
It tastes like he put a banana in it.
Yeah. But...
we have a customer who does that. Every batch, he puts a banana in it.
No, it tastes.
But
like,
it tastes like banana.
It tastes like I'm licking
like a banana chip,
like a cardboard box, and then eating a banana, and it's
which I do every Saturday.
This was probably an awesome beer.
It smells like a
rotten
banana.
Yeah, when it arrived at Justin's refrigerator.
Yeah, it tastes like an overripe banana.
Yeah.
But I'll bet this was an awesome beer at its
peak.
At its peak.
When it was
sent. Which would have been really early, like within a month of being born.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, an example of...
if I had a fresh example, I bet it'd be totally different. And I can tell it's not bad other than it's just aged.
Well, this is a good time to mention that I actually have a new system for beers that we take in, and I'm actually going to store them according to, and for how we have to taste them on the air. I'm going to store them according to style from now on, whereas I used to store them sort of chronologically. Right? Like,
right.
Whatever I got was the next to be tasted, and I'm going to change that system
now.
Or
maybe a drink by date that you put on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I could do that, because that's not too hard to judge. But now that we're getting to know which styles, like, can last a little bit longer, I'm certainly going to, I mean, for example, if I got a Doppelbach next week, right, and I got a Hefeweizen the week after, well, the Hef is going to get tasted first.
Right.
So,
and that tastes like my old Hef. One that's been, I found, oh, cool, I found an old keg, and
yeah,
you know what, it just, I've had it cold the whole time, I've done everything right, but they just don't age.
What's the name on this one, JP?
You know what, now that I recognize this beer, Junkyard Dog Brown, which reminds me, I think it's Gary Foster's beer.
It is, it's Gary Foster.
So Gary Foster's was that half as well. So this is Gary Foster's Junkyard Dog Brown.
No, this one,
why
I
is it called
right
Junkyard
here?
Dog Brown if it looks like
this?
I
don't know. Hey, no, hey, baby, chill. It's, you know.
No,
we're shooting the messenger.
I know. I don't know why.
No, I brewed Junkyard Dog, and I brought it. Mike and I had a meeting, our Club Doe's meeting, like a couple hours before this. And I brought one of these. I brought a Junkyard Dog.
This is the same beer. This is the monkey. It's the same one we just had.
Gary Foster, what's your mail?
Well, I guess I'm just saying, yeah, they're probably labeled wrong. Is this not the same beer we just had?
That's yeah.
Yeah, it smells the same. It tastes the same.
That's the exact same beer we just had.
Well, monkey fish.
It's just labeled
good
wrong.
Good job,
Gary. Not our fault.
But
not Gary's fault.
Just
he was probably
give you
drinking.
Kudos. Everybody liked the Junkyard Dog that I brought. So
that just wasn't it.
I was hoping you were going to be
I
there,
it,
but
it
you
great
weren't. You lazy ass. And
we had a meeting today.
Yeah, we had a meeting.
Oh well,
you got the email right.
JP,
yeah,
you're going to give that to Justin. It's some information about the beer.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the beer we're about to pour now.
Captain Kangaroo.
It's from Captain Kangaroo. You can find him on our forum.
I think he called me a dirty name in the chat room.
You deserved it. This is his American Brown Ale. It was brewed in February of 2006. Tell you a little bit about it. Ooh, he's got a little chocolate malt in there. I like that. He's got some biscuit malt.
Give me your glass, Jay.
Some special bee malt.
Ooh, chocolate.
Ooh, it's got some chocolate.
I like it.
I like the chocolate. Now, listen, this is Prince Germany. I just wanted to chime in on these beers. I wish I could put some chocolate malt in my beers, but I can't because it makes me very fruity.
I like the chocolate. Don't get it on the felt.
I'm trying to find his original graphic.
It's like a Friday show flashback.
I think this beer is very brown. In fact, I'm going to sue it because it's just my color, and I'm going to sue the beer for being so brown. I'm going to eat its family.
I smell a lot of alcohol.
Where's his goddamn gravity?
I hear lots of alcohol.
Yeah.
I got some good hop nose.
Here we go. His OG on this was 1046, and it finished at 1010, just so you know.
I can't smell anything since that 17% mead.
The mead?
Yeah.
Did you in, huh? See, I thought we'd do that first. I figured it'd be
good. No, we should do it last.
Oh, it's
my fault.
It burnt my nose.
My fault.
Your fault,
guys.
Justin.
It's a little astringent. I don't know if it's from hops. I think it might be a hop bitterness or even a CO2 bite, but maybe just a hop bitterness. I don't know. I'm all jacked up right now.
What style is this?
This is it's an American brown.
It's a pale ale.
American brown.
It's American brown.
You know what? I'm going to say this.
I would say, if anything, it's clean.
It's very clean. It tastes good.
It needs more roastiness to it.
It's real bland.
I disagree.
I think it's real kind of flat.
Yeah.
And nothing too exciting.
It's clean, though. So you're doing everything right that way.
Yeah.
It's clean. It's straightforward. But you need some oomph.
Yeah, it's really too dry in the finish. It needs
okay.
to be more malty. It's a malty
definitely
beer.
More malty. I don't think any more roasty. But do you get that... astringency or that bitterness right on there? I don't know what that's from. I think it might be hop bitterness.
This style, I like to, you got to boost the maltiness like you're talking about. But that's going to make it sweeter. But I don't like to balance the sweetness with hops. I like to balance it with roastiness. So kind of up both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good base beer. I would up the roastiness, up the malt, and I think it'd be awesome beer.
I think it's great. I think you just put a little... like carapils in it, and I think you're done.
That'll raise the body.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
bad.
You know?
As we pour the next one, so we can move right on, I'll tell you a little bit about what he did with this beer. Because actually, as much as we think it's a little simple, he did a lot to it. He had 9 pounds of pale, two row, a quarter pound of chocolate malt, half a pound of Kara Munich, 60, three-quarter pound of biscuit malt and half a pound of Special B. Plus, he had a whole bunch of different hops in there, too. Doc, of that malt bill...
I would throw some chocolate malt in
there. A little more chocolate? He only did a quarter pound of chocolate.
No, I would start with a half a pound.
Okay.
Up and see how it goes.
Okay.
That'll raise the maltiness and go to 10 pounds of...
The two-row?
Of the two-row.
Okay.
And just start there.
Okay.
And then see how the next one goes. This is a nice base beer.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily out of the American and brown ale style.
No, not at all.
It's just on the low end of it. Now, if you like the beer this way,
yeah,
then I would just
keep
focus
right
a little bit more on the leftover dextrins, add a little bit more sweetness to it, I think is all it needs.
It's a nice drinkable beer.
How do you have more leftover dextrins?
Well, mash a little bit higher.
JP
153, 154.
Because it leaves non-fermentables?
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
JP said put some more carapils in it.
Yeah.
And that'll do the same thing. It'll leave more dextrins.
Okay.
It'll give more, it's a little watery. This is a good drinking beer.
Yep.
It probably wouldn't do good as a competition beer because it just doesn't stand out.
Okay.
It'll stand out as a clean beer, but...
Sure.
Yeah, oh, cool, that's
clean. But you
clean.
Need something to really...
Yeah, it would sell it more better as an amber ale, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, yeah.
It might even be a case of just too many hops, you know, like trim it down a little bit.
He did do several different hop additions and a few different kinds
Sometimes
of hops.
Sometimes simpler is better. You know,
like
Doc. Oh, sorry. Damn it, Doc.
Well, I guess I just wanted to focus for a second because I really like the idea of getting out there that if you're looking for a little more, kind of malty character or something to stand out, you want a little bit of non-fermentables left in there is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. It depends on what kind of non-fermentables you want. You want it more mouthfeel.
Yeah.
If you want to have it more... sweet and thick.
Yeah.
It's one kind of malt. If you just want to have more mouthfeel and not have it be cloying or nasty, then you want to just have carapils.
And what's the kind of malt that would stay in there if you want it sweet and thick?
Some more Munich, some more Vienna,
okay.
Or some crystal malt at a higher Lobiebond, probably.
Mm-hmm. Like a 60 or something like that.
Because
like
he had 60 in there. But
or 60 or a little bit of 120 goes a long way.
Okay.
And if he wants to really experiment hard, change a lot of parameters.
Okay.
Like we were talking about, put some 120 in there and see what happens. But brew it all the same way because it's clean beer.
Yeah, don't change that process.
No, very good.
Just the ingredient. Okay,
we have an oatmeal stout here with Burton Ale Yeast.
All right. And is there any name on that?
No, there's no name.
Why is there only like a quarter of a beer over there?
You
have some in your glass.
Oh, damn. How'd that happen?
Augustina Baruna came and filled it for you.
Good bartender.
The goddess of beer filled it up for
you. I do know the brewer of this.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that just by the smell? Because you smelt it I know this brewer.
By the writing.
Ah, okay.
I'll get him on the line.
Yeah. Does he have a nickname or just a regular? Give us
a
nickname.
Wanted, it was me. It's my beer, and I wanted you to try it first.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ass.
You ruined it for me.
It's got
a nice red hue to it. Wait, no, I'm bleeding.
Well, in that case, it's shit.
Yeah.
Now that you told me that. Smells really good.
It's an older beer.
I don't think it smells old.
It's 5 months old.
It tastes
six
nice.
6 months old.
What kind of beer is it?
Oatmeal stout.
Astringent?
Yeah.
As all hell?
Yep.
It's a stout. Expect that.
No, it's not a real bad astringent. Actually, if it didn't have the oatmeal flavor, it would be way too astringent.
Yeah.
But I think the oatmeal covers it a bit.
It's a recipe that I've been working on for a couple years. And,
you just brewed a new batch of this.
And I just tweaked it out a lot more. Cool. Actually, I brought the gravity down by like 10 points.
Where does that astringency come from? That's kind of the point of this whole thing.
I think...
Well, this is for...
No, I can tell you exactly where... I'd use too much roasted malt.
Okay.
I use way too much. I tried to put too much crap in it.
Like roasted barley? And
roasted barley, chocolate.
Okay.
Carafa, I think I put in this one too, which I think is where it comes from, more the carafa than anything.
And JP, previous versions, were they much lighter than this one? Is that... You went the other extreme?
Not much lighter, but they were less roasty.
I see.
I really like the roasty part.
Yeah, I think it's
the first thing I drank it. I go, wow, roasty. Nice. So I think you got that down.
Yeah, I think it's a good beer. It's a good mistake, and I guess you sound like it's not what you wanted.
No, but not I think it's exactly, a tasty port. It's all right. Yeah. I actually brought it over here just to get rid of it. But
maybe the next version you would cut back a little bit.
Yeah, this next one I dropped. This was like a 1060 gravity. I dropped this last one down to 1050.
Could be a better beer.
And then, with some pale chocolate in it, and it should be pretty good.
You know what I don't like about the flavor wheel?
Tell me about it.
Is that sulfury is only under odor and aroma, but I feel like I can taste it, too.
I agree.
Well, that has to do with the whole taste aroma thing. You only taste like... You can only taste like seven things or six things. So everything else you perceive as taste is actually aroma.
I see.
You have a cold, you can't taste anything. Your favorite dish at your Italian restaurant tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that whole thing.
Okay.
You also perceive when you like smell it, I'm going to taste that too.
Right.
And how many beers have you had that I smell
tonight?
It? Or tonight.
Yeah.
You smell something and you don't taste it.
Yeah.
And it just goes away. You got this thing in your head that, that's really smells good, and you taste it like you're letting down.
Yeah. This is another oatmeal stout from Bentwood Blue, looks like, or something like
that. Yeah, Bentwood Blue's hung out with us for a long time. He's a cool guy. You'll find him in the forum now and then. And used to be a live listener. I don't know if he still is around live. Bentwood Blue, you seen him around? Okay. Well, anyway, so we've had beer from him before. I know that. And I wonder if this is from that same batch or if this is one we never got to. But this is his oatmeal stout. Let's see. Now, this one doesn't have a lot of aroma.
No.
Either that or I'm just really stuffed up now.
I get some apple.
Green apple
and dusty. Yeah. I get dusty.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got to talk about that because that's a big part of the flavor wheel too. And Doc just mentioned it. Acetaldehyde. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Or acetaldehyde.
And they'll say it's like a fresh cut green apple flavor. Now, the interesting thing is there's other websites. This one is from CarolinaBrewmasters.com. They have a description of everything on the flavor wheel, and acetaldehyde is right at the top. Kind of want to read it. It's perceived as both aroma and flavor as green apples, and in an oxidized state as acetic cider is what you'll taste then.
When it gets old beer, it'll come out like that.
Here's the really interesting part, I think, for us brewers to be able to understand. In the natural anaerobic fermentation process, acetaldehyde is the precursor to ethanol.
Yep.
So it comes first.
Yes.
So every beer is going to have the acetaldehyde.
It's a chain thing. They make this, then they make that, then they make that. That's organic chemistry.
Okay. It goes on to say, underdeveloped or young beer exhibits acetaldehyde, wherein the yeast cannot reabsorb or finish the conversion process.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give it time.
If you don't get enough time, if you crash it too soon, they haven't had a chance to. They've eaten all the sugar. They haven't had a chance to go back and start manipulating what's still left there.
Okay,
it's like when you're doing a diacetyl rest in a lager.
Yeah,
the yeast will go back and clean up after itself.
Right, right.
You should do that same thing in an ale. If it's done, let it sit a couple of days and let everything kind of clean itself.
Yeah. If you pull it too fast, or you're gonna get that. It's what they call green beer.
Yeah, I get that. I get green when I pull it faster.
It goes on. This is an interesting anecdote. It talks about acetaldehyde is typically inappropriate in any style.
Except
Budweiser has integrated it within their flavor profile with obvious success international. Yep. According to this website. Do you know this fact also, Doc?
Yeah, they've said it's okay.
Okay.
It's supposed to taste like this.
It also says Salvatore and EKU-28 also display acetaldehyde, though in lower amounts. Cold storage for short durations promotes acetaldehyde in the final product, whereas longer cold storage would ultimately reduce acetaldehyde into ethanol, which is hence the cure.
With the EKU-28 and things, you know, that's a high-gravity beer.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder, well, the yeast is pooping out. It's not like... They're trying to survive. They're not trying to like look for other things to eat necessarily. They're closing down shop for the winter. And if you got a high alcohol beer, you're going to have a lot more of the green flavors coming through. The long cold storage doesn't really help with an ale yeast because they're just dormant at that stage. But with a lager yeast, they work a lot slower at 32 than they do at 58, or they would love to be at 65 like their ale buddies.
Yeah.
And they got to go in and clean up what's going on. So that's what that long lagering thing kind of comes through. They pull things out of what's still in the wort, and they use that as food, and they change that around. And sometimes these flavor thresholds are so low, parts per trillion kind of stuff. So if they can get that out of there a little bit, your beer tastes cleaner.
Much, much cleaner. Yeah.
That's why our Doppelbock is going to taste a lot nicer
in a
couple of months.
Yeah. Even though it's already been a couple of months, I'm getting sick of waiting.
Ready for the next beer?
That's why I have the other kegs.
Weekendbrewer.com/beer flavor wheel is one of the things we're talking about here and using to evaluate these beers. And then the specific text versions of everything that's on the flavor wheel I'm looking at from CarolinaBrewmasters.com. Now, I want to tell you this. I got both of these off of our forum because our users are awesome, and they're out looking at things all the time. And the person who posted these two things, Bug Eater posted the wheel my fault. I'm sorry. I know your name. I just don't know it off the top of my head. Posted the text version. And the guy who posted the text version, he put it up there and said, listen, I'm just getting into this stuff and I'm looking around for it. Mm-hmm. I'd like you folks to tell me about this site that I found and help me evaluate it.
Oh, nice.
And that's a cool thing because people are always looking for checks and balances.
Yep.
We're not just throwing this stuff out as gospel. And I took that thread and I sent it to Doc and I made sure that he checked these things out. And so, anyway, just a little anecdote.
That whole website's all good. It tells you a lot of stuff about the different flavors you're going to get.
Cool.
What you're going to encounter. And it actually, it tells you how to, like, not have them.
Yeah.
It's all preventative medicine.
I like the how to not do have that.
Don't do that.
Okay, what do we got here?
Chocolate stout. Now, this chocolate stout was made February of 2003.
I like the bottle.
So it's almost the three-year-old bottle, or a bottle beer.
Any other information about it?
That is it, my friend.
This is one, we tasted some of this guy's beer before.
Yeah.
This is the remainder of the batch because he sent them in Red Stripe bottles. So I remember that specifically. We have tasted his beer. This is just the last of it.
This one's pretty astringent too.
And even, I want to talk about the aroma for a sec because it's really syrupy.
Yeah.
It smells like a thick beer. You know what I mean? It's such a thick syrup aroma.
On the flavor wheel, that's going to be your aromatic, fragrant, fruity, floral kind
of stuff. Okay. Which is a big part of the wheel. A lot of things fall under that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very estery. I want to say solvent-like, which is also on the flavor wheel.
Yeah, what I'm getting is acidic. It's like the pH is really low in this beer.
Okay.
And, you know, which happens in dark beers because that's just a natural thing. When you mash dark beer, you know, dark grains, they lower the pH of your mash.
Okay.
But something that you know, really affects the flavor of this beer, I think, how low in pH it is, really acidic.
Yeah. Now, when you do a beer like this, where your mash pH is going to drop like that, McDowell, do you add something back to your mash to help balance it?
Well, when I do make beers like this, which isn't too often, I always like adjust the strike water for my mash to be, you know, a little bit higher to compensate for it.
And what do you use for that? Anything specific?
Well, you know, really like your standard thing, you know, gypsum and Epsom salts and stuff like that. But you have to know your own water for you. Sort
of Mike RO is water like me, so we build it back.
So you do build your own water anyway.
I start from zero.
Okay.
And to compensate for if we're going to use a lot of acidic malts.
Yeah.
And we compensate for that with what we're going to put into it.
Now, what about a guy like me who I'm not going to build my own water. I want to brew a beer like this. Doc, what would you have me do to my water to keep that pH from dropping too low?
I use calcium carbonate.
You do
generally.
Okay. McDowell, would you say the same thing? You'd have me throw that in,
And stay away from the calcium sulfate, which is gypsum.
Don't use gypsum.
No, don't use gypsum in this one.
Generally with all grain brewing, you need to consider pH, which means you probably need a pH meter when you get into that.
Yeah, which I don't have yet, and that's because I'm lazy.
Bob is saying that's his wife's beer.
Really?
Yeah, and it was a kit. An extract kit.
It's his wife's, Bub's wife's beer? The chocolate stout?
It's not bad.
Well, if you put it that way.
Especially being 3 years old.
She kicked ass.
Yeah, I'd be just curious about the water, you know.
The chocolate stout extract kit.
Okay.
It's not a bad beer. I would drink the whole thing and not look back. I wouldn't order another one, but
I wouldn't even look at the one in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so yeah. You know what? I like it when you as you're drinking it. You know, everybody knows the beer changes. You know, when it's on your tongue, it's one thing. When it goes away from your tongue, it's another thing. It's great as you're drinking it. As soon as it kind of evaporates, that's when you get the real astringency.
It gets dusty, I think, too, is a flavor that I pick up a lot.
Okay, not bad. It's
no
clean.
Astringency is not a bad thing. You makes you want to drink more.
Yeah, there you go. It makes you thirsty.
Yeah, sure.
That was a real clean beer.
It makes you dry and thirsty, and yeah. If you're a brew pub owner, you want something that's going to fill people up. You want something they're going to want to have another one.
It's a lot like menopause.
It doesn't yeah. mean just having right? a light beer either.
Maybe.
That's worth a lawsuit.
I will sue you now because I will go through menopause one day.
This is the German brewer, the Prince Viking, and I just wanted to say that I don't have menopause and I'm going to sue you for that.
The Prince who?
Viking.
Viking?
Fag King.
Fucking?
Fag King.
Fag King.
Listen, what am I speaking German? It's Fag King.
So just with the beer, so we're going to do...
Fag King!
We're going to do three more, and then we're going to break, and right. we're going to get the IPAs ready. And okay. then we still have three beers that have been in there for a long time and are not labeled.
There's still three. Zwei, as we like to say.
No, that's drei.
Oh, drei even.
Nice drei.
Zwei is two.
It's like you're speaking Klingon when you're counting like that.
Drei! It was much better when I was sober.
That's really hard when you do the fat king.
You're a freak. You are a freak if
I'm
you
just
think
German.
A hot German.
Poop on my face. Sorry.
I'll poop on your face.
All right, what do we have here?
This is
she'll have you talking like that later.
It's going to get ugly from here, I can tell.
That's what this says on the bottle. That's weird. This is JJ's Brew. It says, handcrafted in Concord, and black and brutal bitter, April 2006.
We're drinking that right now?
Yeah, which I know I've had it before, and I think there may be some weird thing with the bottle because it kind of started to foam a little bit. So maybe there was a contamination issue?
It was a little gusher? Is that what you mean?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I've had this kit. This is a kit that we saw, and it's a very good beer.
I've brewed a gusher before.
It's definitely supposed to be darker.
Not afraid to say it.
Just don't hold it by the neck.
I'll sue you, though.
I still got one in the cupboard. Maybe we should crack one open and see if it's still gushing.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
You don't think that goes away?
No. Carbonation. There's nowhere to go.
No, actually, I think all my gushers are gone. They exploded. I mean, they were real bad gushers. Anybody want to say anything about this beer?
I don't know. I haven't.
I think it has way too many hops.
I'm trying to figure out that aroma.
Not for me.
It's definitely hoppy. Yeah. McDowell wants to punch you right in the side. You can't say any beer has too many hops.
I know.
You better watch out.
I mean,
McDowell's big thing is like, I bring beer to the homebrew club. He goes, what, we have yellow beer here?
Yeah.
Oh,
think
cool.
about McDowell. I'm going to say this right now. And hopefully someday you guys get to try it and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Damn. Yes, McDowell's beer has tons of hops, and it always has a hoppy character. Mm-hmm. But it's never unbalanced.
No. McDowell's the king of balance.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you're a hop lover, McDowell's awesome because he gives you all the hops, and they're totally balanced. Yep. Even when it's a style, like, all right, the first ever, this is cool. I was stoked about this. First ever beer I had at McDowell's was the first time I showed up at a Doe's meeting to talk to you guys about this very idea.
That.
And McDowell was pouring his amber ale. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I was hardly even a homebrewer at that point. I'd made a couple batches.
You're like, how good can an amber? I mean, amber's kind
of
boring, right?
Commercially, I didn't like a lot of amber ales. And McDowell starts handing out this amber, and I drink it, and I'm like, it's the best fucking beer I've ever had in my life. And it was and I could tell it was an amber ale because it had all the balance of an amber ale, but it beat the crap out of me with hops at the same time.
Yeah.
We have a kit of it. Pure beer, more beer.
I don't know what.
It's good.
Oh, is that one of your kits there?
Yeah, Mike McDowell.
There you go.
Well, coincidentally, what I have a problem with this beer is that it is out of balance.
It's not balanced. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's just too hop forward. Somewhere. The malt got left behind.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I've had this beer. It's a clone of a Rogue Ale because they have a brutal bitter, and then John makes a blackened brutal bitter every once in a while, and he gave us the kit. So I've had the commercial example, and I've had homebrew, and I've brewed this kit, and it there is something missing. The roastiness, I think, covers it up.
Okay.
It'll balance the hop, because that's what you're talking about. You need to balance the hops with either sweetness or, like Scott likes to do, with roastiness. That did, like Mike just said, get left behind somewhere. But it's a clean beer. There is no, I think, signs of infection like I thought there may be. But
quite clean.
Are you suing me?
Why would you think that?
I don't know.
You're a lawsuit.
It sounded like
well,
it.
Look at you.
Well,
Mike,
at our holiday party, Mike brewed a Dortmunder export.
Yeah.
And my wife shows up, and I bring her. She doesn't really like beer. I go through the beers, I go, no, you need this
and
one.
And she liked that one.
Oh, my gosh, she would have ordered a pitcher.
Okay, so that's what I want the final
under
word.
Under my control now.
Yeah.
On this beer, what would you have the person change to make it more balanced? That's the key here.
Well, I think obviously, increase the grain bill a little bit.
Okay.
And when your beer's fermenting, taste it when it gets down, like 10, 15 or whatever, getting close to its terminal gravity. Nothing wrong with stopping it prematurely. That is, get it under cold storage and stop the fermentation if you think it's in balance.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to let it ferment flat necessarily.
Okay.
Now, obviously, if you don't get it all the way down, too close to its terminal gravity, you're going to have, problems with drinking it, lots of gas and stuff. But, if you can watch it when it gets down into the what you think it's going to be, you can taste it.
See, Mike, I think a lot of us are afraid to do that. I think we're afraid to get in there and taste
and
early.
Stop it.
And stop it. I'll be honest. Exactly. I think we are.
You've got to keep it cold after that, or you're going to have gushers.
If you want to stop it, you mean?
If you want to stop it.
Yeah. Because the yeast, there's still stuff
there's
for the yeast
There's still sugar
to eat.
In there for them to go nuts.
So if you do stop it,
if you can, if
chill
it's
it.
An ale and you can keep it at 50,
keep it.
You're good.
Okay.
And that's one way of boosting the malt, the backbone of it. I wouldn't change the hops in that one.
No, that's good hops.
I would try
tastes like Chinook and Centennial.
I would try to just try to push the malt bill up so that it's got more of a malt sweetness backbone to help balance it.
It should have a roasty. There is something wrong. We probably made it wrong. I would say that probably isn't a brewing thing.
Maybe a mistake on
maybe a mistake on the recipe, because I've had that
it's
the hoppiness is there, but it's
okay.
It should be darker than that. It should be like the Schwarzbier from your castle.
Yeah. It's a nice castle.
It was actually a clean beer.
It has a big
it's a good
spike.
Beer. It's just a little bit
all right.
It has just one
over-hopped.
Spike. Yeah.
Under-malted.
What do we got here?
This is
IPA.
Stinky Steamer.
Yeah.
Cal Common.
I like the Stinky Steamer. Because I'm German, and that's what we do.
As good as a tuna fish.
I think a German's weird.
Don't say that.
Yeah, we call it Scott.
Scott.
That's the equivalent of Stinky Steamer.
I've never laid a steamer here.
I'm
sorry. That's what the beer's called?
Stinky Steamer.
And who is
with
brewing?
All Northern Brewer hops, brewed by Hop Goblin.
Okay.
And he gives his phone number. We should give it out. It's 584-278. No. Hop Goblin. Steve.
Glasson?
He's a nice fella. Another one who use our forum quite often. And a funny guy, if I don't say
What I did kind of notice is that I opened up the cap, and there's some yeast slurry on the cap, and then there's some around the bottle here, too.
Yeah, so
I don't know why.
Now, they cap it on foam.
No, but it's like slurry.
And it's sticky and nasty, no.
Yeah, it's weird.
It has a bottle ring? You're saying at the top?
Yeah, but here, look. I don't know if you can see it, but on the outside where the cap seals around.
Rogue does that, and Lagunitas does that, too.
They're capping on foam.
On the inside, but on the outside.
That's okay.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I've never seen it before.
They don't rinse off the bottles.
I'm agreeing with Doc, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. They don't rinse off the bottles.
Yeah. In fact, it's good to cap on foam, and if you don't, especially if you don't have a counter-pressure filler, that's what you should be doing.
Yep.
Hey, I'm not saying it's bad. I was just letting you guys know in case you tasted something weird, and that might be a sign. I don't know.
Don't get all defensive.
No, are you suing me?
I'm suing you.
I got your lawsuit swinging, pal.
Somebody said that to me. I didn't know what it meant.
Overly defensive. We're suing.
Anyway.
Everybody's angry.
It's a good beer.
Okay, next beer.
All right.
What's the style?
California Common with all Northern Brewer hops.
I think.
Oh, yeah, back off on the Northern Brewer hops, certainly. It's too hoppy for that.
Yeah, I think it's one shy of an IPA.
Yeah,
it is brewed by a man named Hop Goblin. So,
of course, you're excused.
I think if he just upped the hops a little bit more, then it'd be an awesome IPA.
Help me out with the aftertaste. What am I getting there?
I don't know.
Something.
Well,
it tastes like a steam beer to me.
That's the Scott. Are you guys? Right. Are you not getting anything in the aftertaste? A little kind of a lingering.
It's a little astringent.
Yeah, something.
And that could be just the hops that he's using. So
I get a little smoky in the nose.
All right, how many you got left? Because we got to take a break.
We got one left.
We're going to do it when we come back.
All right. It'll be real fast.
What? Right, no, we're not going to do this, and then we're going to move on to IPA. It's a new category.
Wait. Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, one, one more. We got one more.
Oh, we have one before.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was
we're
going to
close the category.
No.
Oh, God, Lord.
You listen to me.
It's like...
We're going to do this one, and then we're going to move on to IPA.
Who set these up? Because we did it in total back-ass words order.
Well, right. Justin told me...
No, you should do IPAs last. No. What do you mean backwards order?
Because this is a pale ale, and this is our last one. We should have done this first and then gone through. We should have gone this way, not
this
way.
You know what? You go do your own show somewhere else.
I've never seen guys complain so much about free beer.
Yeah. Really. Thank you, hey.
Mike,
McDowell.
You're right on.
Shut up, Mike.
Goodness sake.
I think you did
it
good.
Over his crotch.
Thank you.
Right there. Okay, good.
I think that JP's yeast infection
can
is
you do the print again?
I can't. I keep screwing it up.
I wasn't bitching. I was just saying.
Jesus. What's
F
he
you
got
all.
To do with anything?
This is Linux Self. American Pale Ale. OG 1065. Final Gravity 1011.
All right. It already smells.
Bottled 3/23/2006.
It's a pale ale? Whoa.
What the hell was that? Yeah, it's a
it already smells like a pale. It's a pale. It smells like a Duvel. So I'm going to go just off of the aroma that something is in there that shouldn't be. All right, just going to say that right now because it really.
That's a lawsuit.
Smells,
I don't smell that.
it smells
really
like,
dry.
You don't think it smells like a Belgian, like a saison?
Well, that it would have fermented way down to being really dry.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
It tastes peppery, perfumey.
It tastes like a
Belgian.
Like
tastes
a
like
saison.
A, you're too. Right. You're right. I get that now.
It's a saison. I mean, maybe you didn't start as a saison, but you brewed a damn good saison.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I wouldn't chuck it or anything, but it's.
But there's something wrong with
it's
it.
It's
not
right? American
according
pale ale
to style. No, it's not a pale ale.
It's not a pale ale.
There's a nice penguin on the
and
label.
Not an English pale ale. Not a Peruvian Peruvian pale ale.
Not an Egyptian pale ale.
Not at all.
We have the brewer in the chat room if you want to ask any questions.
Okay. Who is it? Sorry?
Lennox Salt.
Lennox. He's a good guy too.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. If he just put like a Cal Ale or something in there, then it's infected, right? There's something else in there. Because that's not a clean ale yeast.
I don't know that it's not clean. I think it's more like a blonde ale. It's like much lighter.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Mike. I think it might be a recipe issue because that yeast is kind of funky. It gives you kind of some funky things, but I think you need to be malty
and some crystal
to hide some of that.
It doesn't
seem
to have any crystal in it. You know?
No,
I get no body whatsoever. Yeah. So it means it's been fermented down way beyond. Oh, like probably 10. Mm. It's got no body in there.
Any off flavors?
No, I got no off flavors.
Mm. It's like that. What's that model's name? Who's totally like. She's like a waif. She's like
Augustina Barina.
Augustina Barina. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
There's a lot of them.
She looks like she's all cracked out.
Yeah, no. It's
Kate Moss?
Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
She's my favorite model.
She should like be our new like
heroin
descriptor of a beer that's like too thin, especially if it's a nice beer, but it's just too thin.
No, it's called heroin chic.
She is so not too thin. She looks great.
Are you kidding?
No.
So cut yourself
we should get
that.
All the models so Kate Moss will be the... The low end, and then what, Mick Jagger's daughter will be the high end?
Yeah.
The plus size models?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
I just was thinking of that for a second.
They snouted out.
You guys are disgusting.
It's actually a really nice beer, but it doesn't make a pale ale.
I still think it's infected.
Linux is just laughing at your comments.
I hope he's laughing at
us. He's just angry because he didn't get to compete in the Decock. Yeah.
He's laughing at my condoms? I don't understand.
If he upped the CO2 in this, it would make a great saison.
Be better. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a really good saison. That's my point.
It needs to be more carbonated, and it would be an awesome saison.
I'm in agreement.
It's good.
It's got a little, it's got some butterscotch.
Yeah.
It's got some, a little bit of sourness, it's not a lambic,
but dry too.
Yeah, but it's dry.
Somewhat peppery. It could have been like a warmer fermentation or something like that.
I think it's a saison.
Dude. To say something.
I've never taken that that steam yeast up high, and maybe that's what happens. Because I know some people take it up to like 70, 75.
Steam
which you shouldn't go. But
don't go there.
Don't go there. Like 55 is where you want it.
Is that it? Before our IPAs? Yeah?
That's it.
All right. We're going to take a really quick break. I want you to listen to the song at this break. It's actually, it's hilarious. It's from the same guys who did the DUI song.
Can I pee in the dump bucket then?
It's going to be a classic. So hang in there. When we come back, we're going to finish up the IPAs and I don't even know what else. We're on the air all night now.
Are we giving away something?
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
It's going to be butt jokes for the rest of the year.
I put my on your big ass double D's. I put my B-A-W-L's. I put my balls on your big titties. Now ladies do the limbo, four on the floor, and fellas stand akimbo. Open your drawers, we're gonna walk it all together on a gentle count of four. So come on people, dance it with me.
Thank God, not a moment too soon. There's no one in the room, right?
No.
All right. That's a really hard line.
You wrote it.
What's with the ABBA cast dream? God damn it. Oh, these are really hard. I'm just going to have to do this a bunch of times. Who wrote this shit? You know what? Go ahead and start me over. And just trash that whole take. Hit that fucking whirlpool, vigorously. Holy shit, I need some air. Damn, my yeast will not proof in my blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, I'm so white.
Okay.
Proof in fucking boobs, being rude, and my kid pulled the leg out to say that a whole lot faster. This whole chat room I want out, Justin. Shit, that's a lot of words. 50G, why don't you push eject me? I'm screaming Gucci when D pushes me off the screen. Ow. I'm screaming Gucci when D pushes me off the screen. Jum, blah, blah. That's the end of that. Then we're off into the pseudo chorus. Shit, I just got booted out of the chat room. I was so in the groove on the last one. That was crap. Holy shit, I just got booted out of the fucking chat room.
Did you have to laugh?
Sweet shit that likes life and aerobic. Damn, but you still not proof and I'm out of air. Doc's little voice in my ear screaming, I realize that I'm missing two whole bars of lyrics. Damn, my yeast will not proof and fucking boobs being rude, my kid. That one's impossible. Think I can't think, but then I hear Doc's little voice in my ear. This is where it just falls apart. I don't know how this worked in my head. Motherfucker, drink!
Drink! Aw, man, that always kind of irked me. You're this guy like, drink!
That part's easy. It's how do I fit all that other crap in there?
All right, that's probably good enough for now. Oh, that's funny. Is that you? Oh, that's me.
Shit.
I'm throwing down an angry rap song. Oh, what time is it? Probably within the next 20 minutes. I love you, sweetie. Okay, running out of time.
Just got booted out of the chat room. That's the gay version. Okay, don't even think about putting that on there. This is just pathetic, isn't it? Look at the two jerk-offs. Too bad I don't have, like, a good ripping fart right now or something. Wait, I'm actually touching cloth.
Doc's little voice in my head screaming, are you going to have to burn him, man? Kill JP.
It really sounds like I'm not in the pot, doesn't it?
What?
I think it does. Oh, let's just defend, take a crap. I'm out.
And now, back to the Brewcasters.
Yeah, it's getting late now, huh?
Yeah, we just have some IPAs left. 7. And then we have 3 that have never been labeled before.
We just have 7 IPAs left to taste.
That's not too bad, is it?
And 3 that have never been tasted before.
I can't wait for you guys to taste the 3 without label, without names, without anything on them.
It's like the...
What do you mean you can't wait?
Listen, I can't wait. I've been waiting all my life.
What? That's a lawsuit.
And what
that's
do you mean
offensive.
By, what do you mean by you guys? You're drinking this too.
No, I can't anymore. I'm quite hammered already.
Cool.
Everyone likes it when you they wanted you to be drunk of the year.
I'm. You know what? This
Based
year,
off of one
this
drunk
year,
show.
So does that mean everybody in the chat room can take advantage of you now?
No, no. I'm throwing them out as I go.
Oh, okay.
But this year, my only resolution is I'm striving for drunk of the year.
All right.
But Metek is in there too. He's my biggest competition.
So I've heard.
Drunk. Not yet.
Drunk of the week.
Oh.
Mandela is drunk of the week. Drunk of the week. Daniela is the drunk of the week.
But I want to sing it.
Give me your glass, Justin.
Hey, Push, what's happening, brother?
I don't know. What are you doing, dude?
Are you busy?
Yeah.
Just hanging out with some friends. Having a beer.
Don't make booty calls to me during the show.
This is such a booty call. I have nothing to say. Hey, what's going on?
Then don't call. What do you want?
Nothing, dude.
You and O'Sullivan like to do that.
Yeah, what is that?
Like, hey, what's up, dude?
How's it going? What are you doing? The show?
What do you think this is? Like, we're just messing around over here?
Yeah, what are you earning sponsorships or something? I don't know.
Hey, where's your beer, Push? Why didn't you send anything in?
Dude, I sent Sean a big fat load of it last week.
And where's Sean now? We're talking about beer, though.
Yeah.
All right. No. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to stoop to this level.
Don't do it. Dude, just cut me off.
Wait till Friday.
All right. I'm serious. Like, it's bad enough that we're just getting...
Just cut me...
All right. Bad enough that we're just drinking in here. We're trying to get through some important things.
This is Beer Bears. Brewed on 8/28/06.
Okay, guys, taste that. Start evaluating it so that we can be ready to go. I'm going to take this phone call real quick, and then we're going to talk about Beer Bears beer when we come back. Beach Scrat is on the line. What's happening, my brother?
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. What can I do for you?
The question that I have is I've always wanted to send beer to you guys and beer in the mail in general,
yeah.
But I don't know what's the tried and true method, you know, like how's everybody doing it?
All right.
How are they boxing it? How are they, you know what I mean? What companies they go through, that sort of thing.
Well, I've become a bit of an expert on this, not because I ship my beer around, because who the hell wants that?
Right.
But because I've received a lot of beer. And so I'm going to tell you how people have been sending it to me and what seems to be the best. Of all the beer that anybody sent me, I've only gotten one broken package where the beer was all busted up. And I will say that was from the U.S. Postal Service. Now, I've gotten plenty of beer from the U.S. Postal Service. It's been just fine. But the one time it broke was through them. UPS has been pretty damn good about it. But here's the deal. You're going to want, you just need a box that's large enough. Don't skimp on the size box. Like, don't try to save money by doing a real tiny, you know, like the, like those flat rate boxes. Forget about it. Get yourself just a square box, and what seems to work every single time, nobody ever has a problem, is that you wrap the bottle in its own bubble wrap. Each bottle. Wrap each bottle in its own bubble wrap.
Sure, sure.
But and 3 feet of it, yeah.
And then pack the rest in anything. It, whether it be newspaper or the styrofoam popcorn or foam in general, it doesn't seem to matter as long as you've wrapped each individual bottle in its own bubble wrap and then just put a bunch of shit around it.
Yep.
As long as they don't
clank. You're fine, man.
As long as they don't clank together and just as another stopgap, put it in a garbage bag.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Oh, sure. So it doesn't leak.
Right. Yeah. In case something bad happens, and you know, depressurize. I've had them depressurize and shoot out the bottle cap before.
That sounds like a whole other thing.
Yeah. Well, all over. I was taking them somewhere.
Oh, you mean like airmail? You talking?
Yeah,
about?
I've done. Who knows what it's going to do? Is it going to be all ground? Is it going to be some airmail? You don't know.
Right.
And I've put them in my checked luggage.
Yeah.
And I've had them go all over my new clothes.
Hang in there, John. I got you.
So it's a good idea to put them in a garbage bag on top of everything else, just a stopgap measure.
All right, so there you go. Just do the bubble wrap and then put a bunch of shit around it. You'll be fine, man.
And just to know, people don't like peanuts.
Yeah, nobody likes penis.
Peanuts.
Oh. Oh, sorry.
I think the Prince of Germany likes the peanuts.
And if you don't have the address, shoot me an email. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I think I got it from Daniela at one point, but if I don't have it, I'll shoot you one.
Okay. Yeah. Bottom line is, don't worry too much about it. As long as it's not going to move inside that box and it's not close to the edge of the box, you're fine, man.
Yeah, and just send me an email again if you need the address. I'll send it back to you.
Cool.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, kid.
Happy New Year.
All right. John Palmer's on the line. What's happening, Ooh. Man?
Hi.
Hey, John.
Hope you can hear me.
Hi, John. Happy New Year.
Can hear you.
Happy New Year to y'all.
What's
can you
happening?
Hear you okay?
We can hear you great.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, I just got a new headset and thought I'd call you all and see if it worked. I didn't realize you were still the show is still going.
People love using this show to test. Is it good? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go call my grandma now.
I'm going to say two things. One is that, your headset sounds awesome. It's actually the best headset I've heard so far. The other thing I'm going to say is, what the fuck, man? It's like our show is the
beta test of everything, yeah.
Like, everybody knows that we are so not talking about anything important enough not to interrupt it to figure out if their shit's working.
Thanks, John. I got one thing to tell you, John. If you say, like, oh, is our show still going? You come down here, you do it live.
It'll still be going.
You know what? It'll still be going. You'll say, oh, dang. 3 hours?
John's coming in February. I'm not going to tell you when. I want you guys to stay tuned, but John's going to be here in February. Isn't that right, my friend?
I will. I definitely will.
Meanwhile, Beer Bear's burning John in effigy, going, I want to know about my beer, because that's kind of what we're doing.
Beer Bear
you
can
stopped
wait,
all man. Over him.
Oh.
That's okay.
John, we're getting feedback here that you released a great new article in the magazine.
In the what?
Which...
No, I don't know. I'm just getting here that you released a great new article.
Did you just write for some magazine recently?
I don't think so.
Did it get published recently?
It was Playboy.
It was a joke.
Yeah. It was, I mean, that's why we all buy Playboy. It's for the articles. And, John Palmer's in the latest edition of Playboy. Well, although he didn't write it. He didn't write an article.
Section.
He didn't write an article.
No. He's that third.
He designed the set.
You know how there's three titty portfolios in every Playboy? No. You all know that, right? There's the one in the front, there's the centerfold, and there's the one in the back.
That's why you buy Penthouse, because there's four.
There's four. Palmer's the third one.
Palmer. So he didn't actually write it, he just posed for it.
Yeah. Now, John's coming in February. He's going to come in with Jameel, and I'm not going to give too much away, but I'm going to tell you what, you're going to want to listen. And I got some big plans for that show, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So John, get ready not to be able to say anything, because Jameel will be here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that show. It should be a lot of fun.
Okay. Cool, brother. Your headset sounds great.
Coming through loud and clear, John.
Yeah.
You might want to test your landline. You want to call us on the 800 number?
Yeah. And anything else you got to test, you just let us know, man. Yeah.
Well, my wife just came by and said, you're talking too loud. You're going to wake up the kids, so I better sign off right now.
It's working great.
Thanks, John. We'll see you, man.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye. Have a good year.
Let's see. Bub, what do you want?
Bub, what do you want? Everybody's like, oh, hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah,
Bub,
no, Bub's a
what do you want?
Bub, turn on your microphone.
I'm here, dude. What's up?
He's got an interference because he's in the bathroom.
What's happening?
No, because you put me on hold, so I couldn't hear what was going on, so I had to put on the feed again, which is like 40
whatever, Bub, minutes. Come to your point. Jeez, we don't have time to waste. What do you want?
First of all, hey, I want to kind of get back on track. First of all, I only had two purchases on bobweb.com for the whole Linda Kent.
Hey, Push, what's happening, brother?
Hey, I just wanted to test out my new microphone.
Yeah, it's working great.
Is it good?
Yeah. All right, we'll catch you later.
All right, hey, okay, good, do.
All right.
Good. He likes your hair, dude. Good, do.
Hey, Bub, sorry about that. I just had another call.
Yeah, you had another call. You guys suck. All right.
Well, you're probably still going.
So only two people have bought your website, which you're donating to Linda.
I only had two, but I will continue it until February 1st.
Okay. That's a cool thing. Bub provides a very cost-effective and really cool web hosting service. It's like 10 bucks. What is it, 10 bucks a year?
$10 a year to start.
And it goes. You have some larger plans, too, but they're all really affordable. And Bub has been nice enough to anybody who donates, I guess until whenever he says no, anybody who buys a site, he's going to donate 100% of the proceeds to Linda. So,
Feb 1. And if I remember correctly, B3 will match it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, Chris said that too. So if you buy a $10 a year website from Bub, then B3 is going to throw in $10 too.
You're actually donating $20.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great deal. I'll remind
you know what?
People
they probably
also
won't have to shave their junk, right?
Yeah.
Bub and they won't have to shave their junk. And Push rocks because he sent me a beer for no reason, and I'm really drunk because of it.
Hey, you know Henning's making you look like a big pussy because he's getting a tattoo, right?
He is, you know. And if I wasn't a big pussy, I'd get the tattoo too. But yeah.
You know what? You should get the tattoo in your pube area, so when you grow back the pubes, then it won't show.
Oh, there's the ringer. Thanks, Bub, for the phone call. And the Bub timer has gone off. And
worked pretty well.
Somebody got that thing to work.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Who do we got here? Brew Bums?
I forget now.
Who's
I think
beer?
Mike's drinking all the beers. Brew Bear.
I got a phone call.
Yeah, this fine IPA.
It's a We're fine never gonna IPA. Do this.
A caller, hang in there. We're just going to taste this beer. All right, so this one is Beer
Brew
Bear.
Beer Bear. Brew Bear?
Beer Bear. It's IPA.
And well balanced. Great mouthfeel.
The name of the beer is Practice IPA.
You can ask any questions because we have Beer Bear here in the chat.
This is an IPA color.
Beer Bear, it's a great IPA.
Smells like an IPA.
Did you hear McDowell? Did you hear what McDowell just said?
He said great.
Stop practicing. You got it.
It's my blessing. Yeah, it's great beer.
If McDowell says that your hoppy beer is great, you're done, man. Keep your recipe right.
He's going back for seconds.
Do it the same the next time.
I hope you still got some. This beer, we've had it quite a while here, so.
Okay, nice. If nobody has any criticism, we're saying kick ass, keep up the good work. Pour the next one, I'll go to the phones. Buzzcut, what's happening?
Dude, you guys got me out here in a fucking cold because I'm on my cell phone, because the fucking kids are on the goddamn phone, and I'm about ready to get my hot tub because easier.
This is disgusting.
Yes, it's easier.
It's a good story.
Are you going to wear pants in the hot tub?
It's like 36 degrees outside here.
Right. You know, it's not much better around here.
Really?
No, it's. I bet it's probably 43 here.
43.
So I'm like on my 10th or 11th Miller Lite.
What is it with you?
On purpose?
Get your dog out there so you can start talking to
him. Check it out. It's a 30-pack of Miller Lite in a can for $13.
Hey, Buzz, you ought to sue that other podcast guy because he talks to his dog now, and you were the first one to do that. Do you remember?
Yeah, I know. I saw that, and I was like, you know, that fucker, I talk to my dog. My dog talks back to me.
And you don't have a show about it.
See, that's how much of a fan the other guy is of us, is because he rips off not only us, but our listeners, too.
And my dog hates it when I'm in the hot tub because he thinks I'm going to drown in the water. Yeah,
so do we, as a matter of fact. Be careful.
He's looking at you thinking soup.
Yeah. All right, Buzz, I got to go. Be careful, all right?
Hey, yeah, don't drown.
You guys keep drinking.
We are. Thank you.
All right.
You stop.
Cheers. Later.
Cheers to you. Cheers to you. Dave, you're on the line. What's happening? You're not there. You got to turn on your microphone. I got you here. I see you there. All right. Try back because your mic's not working. What beer are we about to sample now?
This is from She-Devil Brewery, Fledermaus IPA from Fritz I.
Oh, like. Fritz from New York.
Oh, he it's from the Fritz?
Yeah. I have his phone number. I can give it out.
The Fritz.
Let me tell you what. Fritz is a cool guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He took us to DBA. In the Village in New York City.
I don't know what that is.
He would have taken us to several other places, but you know, I think we all pushed out. It was 2 a.m. or something and didn't want to go to a bunch of other beer places.
Can't you get beer at 4?
He knew his beer. And then he met us again. We had been out drinking until 4 the night before. And he took us to cool places in Brooklyn, and Fritz is a fun dude. If you're ever in Brooklyn and you're a forum user, you send Fritz a private message because he'll take you out and show you where all the good beer spots are. All right, so what kind of beer is this?
It's an IPA.
From
IPA.
They're all IPAs.
Yeah. It's good IPA.
I'm going to ask again when the next one comes, right?
I know, and I'm still going to laugh at you.
I'm going to ask again, even. Y'all, this one is good.
I think to balance the malt, you put a little more hop or take some of the crystal out.
Or take some of the malt's got to go down or the hop's got to go up. It's a little sweet to balance out the hops.
But it's clean.
Personally, I wouldn't do the hops up. I would... balance the malt down.
Exactly. Back off of the crystal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How many are left?
Too many.
Maybe five.
It's not a bad beer. It's clean. You brewed it right. I think
five plus three.
Five IPAs are and left are three the other ones. So that's the notes from this next beer.
All right. This next one is from another one from Bentwood Blue.
So he probably has the notes from the other one on there too.
Hey Sully, you're on the air. What's happening,
Sully?
Hey guys, what is going on, man?
Why are you not here?
I gotta tell you, I was wondering what happened to Dr. Scott. I didn't hear him talk for 15 minutes. I thought he checked out of the show. This thing's going on forever.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
What is our official longest show? Anybody know?
This is it.
Really?
Any show that Sean calls up and talks on?
No, we've gone till 9:30 before.
No, this is the longest show we've ever had.
I think you're right.
No, this is the longest show we've ever had.
No, she's wrong.
I just looked and I was aghast at how...
Really?
What time it is? And
we've gone till 9:30 before.
No, we haven't.
Really?
No. This is the longest show we've ever had.
Excellent.
You guys keep talking about it too.
Because we're gonna make it even longer.
And we wonder why it's the longest show ever. Yeah. We keep going in circles with each other.
Happy New Year, Sean O'Sullivan.
Hey, you guys! Happy New Year! Congratulations on the first show of the year and the longest show of the year, hopefully.
Sean, did you come in and say hi and then pull a Sully? And we didn't even know you were here.
No.
No.
No. Sean, what's new at the 21A?
this one's for Doc. Sully, join in.
Drunk of the week. Dr. Scott is the drunk of the week. Drunk of the week. Dr. Scott is drunk of the week.
And that was just for the last two episodes.
So what's new?
I still remember what I'm doing.
All right, just hang in there, Sully. Don't hang up. We're gonna evaluate this beer. You're gonna stay on the line.
All right, buddy, I'll be right here.
This one's from Bentwood Blue. He says, "Here are my first two all grain attempts that didn't royally suck. They're not perfect, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. All my brews are kegged, so the carb levels may be a little off. It will be nice to get some feedback." So, we're having the IPA, which has some pale malt, carapils, aromatic, caravienne, wheat malt, and Cara Munich. And I don't see... Oh, it's 1066 was his OG. 1012 was his final. Four different kinds of hops. Northern Brewer, Centennial, Amarillo, and Cascade.
What was his grain bill again?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Pale malt, carapils, aromatic, caravienne, wheat malt, and Cara Munich. It fermented.
I think it did great.
thank you. It fermented at 69 degrees. It was brewed on November 11th of 2006.
What was the first sentence he said?
Oh, Jesus.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
That too.
It's his first all grain attempt that didn't suck.
Oh, no, it sucks.
Oh, it does?
No, no, just kidding.
Nah, just fucking with you.
Just fucking with you.
What was the last sentence? I would lose, like, two of those caramels.
Yes.
Like, Caramunic, I would lose. And then I won't ask you the rest because I forget. But Caramunic,
and the hops, it's real peppery.
I'm not getting enough base malt, and I'm getting a lot in the middle.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crystal.
A lot of crystal, a lot of chewy in the middle.
I think Mike McDowell is the only one with any clarity here.
Yeah,
McDowell, give us your opinion.
It seems chewy on the back end.
Okay.
And I agree that it's probably a little bit heavy on the specialty malts.
Okay.
This is an IPA. Its signature malt is two-row. Let it shine through. It's being hidden by the specialties, I think.
Okay. There you go. And how many do we have left?
We have
four.
Four.
Plus three unknown.
God, I don't know.
Jesus.
So can I know what's new at the 21A now?
Yeah, what's new at the 21A?
First of all, where's the location?
Big news at the 21A is we're getting ready for Strong Beer Month with Magnolia Pub and Brewery, which is all month long in February, where we have five strong beers at each location for a total of 10. When you drink all 10, you get to keep the glass.
Is it a coincidence that Strong Beer Month is the same month as Black History Month?
You know what? It actually is, and we celebrate it at the beginning of each week by having a prominent black speaker come out and actually speak to the crowd.
That's good.
And then we beat him.
Yeah. Where's Token when we need him?
I always want to know, they actually asked Sean to bring it strong?
Always.
You should have shirts.
Is this a recording?
He sounds. Are you
with
sleeping?
The Magnolia Pub, and we have five beers at every location.
Hey, Sean, you're horizontal, aren't you?
I'm not wasted. That's what.
No, but you're horizontal. You're laying in bed.
Right? I am laying down.
Yeah.
I would push called in one of the 5 million times he's called in to bug you guys about nothing.
Yeah.
Listen to Friday.
I heard him say my name, and I woke up, and I was like, "What? What are they saying about me?"
Are you getting some action right now while you're talking to us?
I'm not getting any action.
Whoa. Yeah, maybe.
I'm not too sure.
The soft glove, Sean. Beware.
He sounds like he's
getting soft glove.
Some. Well, let's go then.
What does that mean? JP, what does that mean?
Don't worry about it.
Let your imagination roam.
Yeah, let your imagine run.
How did he just call JP Cheapy?
No, I said JP.
Oh.
I might have said Cheapy.
I think your ears are drunk.
My little Cheapy.
You promised me not to be gay this year.
It's my resolution. My New Year's resolution is not to be gay.
Not to have my poop pushed in. Can we talk about this beer?
Yeah.
Sean, go away.
I'll tell you what, I don't care what we talk about from
Good
here
night,
on.
Oh, well, Sean, in that case. Happy New Year.
Sean, what do you think about this beer?
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, I think it tastes great, but there was a guy that sent a beer in JMU Brew, and I was hoping you guys would get a chance to taste it, but I have a feeling it might be unmarked.
Sully,
I think
we drank that all after the last show.
I think we saved the bottle, I don't remember, but I just wanted to say that they give the guy props. He did a great job, and to send more.
He brewed an IPA, your IPA.
He basically, there was a big throwdown in the forum for me to publish my 21A IPA recipe, and after being ridiculed as usual, in the forum, I put the recipe up there, and then JMU Brew.
Brewed it.
I feel so weird saying that guy's name like
that's
that.
That's fine.
He brewed it up, and he was kind enough to send me some bottles, and we were trying to drink it on the last show, but I think
last
we did,
show.
But it was off the air. So.
Off the air. Are you suing me?
You know, I'm actually going to go to Australia and sue you from there.
Yeah, we have people there, and they will break your leg.
Have you talked about that on the show at all?
It sounded to me like you're suing me.
No, I'm not suing you.
That's what I heard.
There was a threat.
Justin, you better sue him for suing you. For the attempt of suing you. We're going to sue you, Sean O'Sullivan.
I'm suing.
No, I'm not going to sue you. Don't worry about it. Not yet, but I may.
Just remember, we're glad to know you.
I think that the Constitution should sue you because you have called your brewery the 21st Amendment, which clearly you didn't invent.
Well, I'll tell you, when you do Google the 21st Amendment, it's the first thing that comes up, and it comes up above the Constitutional Amendment.
Well, yeah, because I don't think the Constitutional Amendment is paying Google for
amendment.
That place.
Amendment.
Shut your mouth. Amendment and beer.
Amendment. Yeah. We have amendment.
Hey, I may be horizontal, but you guys are out of your freaking mind.
I know. This is the worst show in the history of shows.
Yeah,
no,
kind of.
Can we
get onto the beer?
Into a bub phone call.
Yeah. All right, we'll catch you later.
Well, if
all
you were
right,
taking a dump, I would.
Thanks for the call. Sully's a good guy.
Where's he live?
I don't care. I'm suing him.
Berkeley. Let's go.
Let's go there.
Yeah.
Sue everybody in Berkeley.
Yeah.
We'll hey, hippies.
This place down. And
hey,
go
piece
to
this.
Yeah.
Piece this together.
Hey, you guys have got long hair, and I have long hair, and that you can't have two people with long hair.
No.
Absolutely
I have long
not.
Hair. It's not on my head.
Doc, you have had long hair since... Well, Doc, you've never had long yeah. hair.
Oh, I'll show you pictures, baby.
You got some hippie hair?
Oh, yeah.
What about McDowell? You got some hippie hair back
oh,
in the day,
yeah.
don't
oh,
you?
Yeah.
Do you?
You got to imagine that.
I'm and still
did
a
you,
hippie.
Did you
I
have
don't
the,
have the hair anymore.
Yeah. Did you have the big bushy beard?
Oh, oh, absolutely.
And you had everything.
Everything, yeah. And flowers on the side of my microbus, my VW microbus.
What year microbus did you have?
63.
No. 1994.
I had two buses.
I had a 69.
I had a 69 and a 70.
Oh, you had a 69 too, huh?
And a 70.
What size engine did you have in your 69?
I put a 2180 in it.
I had the Porsche 2000 engine in mine. You know how they started putting the Porsche engines in the buses? Because they were all fuel injected.
Yeah,
and 70s. You get a little more, yeah, I was in my 69.
Yeah, I would go up the mountain. That was great.
Nobody gives totally a shit good. About any of this, but I love my Volkswagen buses.
Oh. I wanted one. That was my first car when I was 16. I was like, I really want one. And then my friend got one, and I said, I can't have one. I'm going to get a bug. And then he got one, and I don't have one now.
So I really want to talk about beer now. The beer that JP just poured is yeah. the beer that JMU Brewer sent in. It's the East-West IPA.
East-West IPA. West.
And if you have any questions, we have them in the chat room.
I thought we already drank that.
No,
we
didn't.
Haven't.
No, we're just starting.
Maybe I did, and I didn't even know it. Huh. It's never good when you just get a huh. I'm going to tell you that right now. No. If anyone's ever drinking your beer and they go, huh.
Interesting.
I'm just giving you a heads up.
That could also mean, like, I thought it would suck and it didn't.
Well, that's what surprised me about IPAs is they look so benign in color, right? They look like pale ales. Yeah. But when you taste them, they got like, wow, all these hops.
It's actually a good beer.
It's yeah. really good. I like it.
Yeah. I think it's pretty well balanced. Perfume, I like it. I think it's great. And I don't even like IPAs.
All right, real quick, what would you change? Let's give some constructive criticism.
No, I think it's great.
Nothing?
No, it's, I like the hop flavor, which probably means like late edition. Keep it up, yeah.
No, him and Beer Bear are right on the nose here.
Hey, Push, I just missed your call. I thought I should call back and make sure it wasn't important.
I'm just checking out my new face. I have a new mouth. I want to make sure it's working.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, can you hear it okay?
Junk in
fill it with something, yeah.
It sounds great.
Put some junk in there.
Sounds great.
Is that a doc telling me to put some junk in my mouth?
Yeah.
You got a new mouth.
Yeah, well, he's helping out. Because he's saying it sounds great, but it'd sound better if you had some junk in it.
Hey, doc.
Hey, this is Push. I'm not sure.
Is this a new one?
Oh, my God. My kids are like 10 feet away asleep, dude.
They don't know what junk is.
Well, turn the speakers down, man.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Push. Right. Which translate to I'm suing you.
Yeah. This is from Brian. Again, Real Ale 420. I have his phone number. We can give it out on air if you want.
Wait, didn't we try that? Wasn't it the first one?
Hey, where did you try this guy's beer?
Hey, I'm
Real
just...
Real Ale 420. We tried that one.
But
yeah,
now
no,
it's
but
his
didn't,
IPA.
It's his IPA yes. card.
What was his last one? Because this one's actually better than
his last one.
I
don't know.
This one's better.
420 IPA.
You don't have to. It's all right.
No, I'm going to.
So maybe go
JP is
there.
Leaving the studio.
JP gets angry.
He does. JMU wants to wants to tell you and let you know that you can blow him for your comment.
What was my comment?
About his IPA.
What'd I say?
If anybody ever says, about a beer.
Then it's not good.
It was a blonde ale we tried.
I'm not allowed to blow
you.
Well,
that was a good...
promised Danielle I wouldn't be gay this year.
Well...
So stop being gay.
Promises, promises.
Uh-oh.
Y'all, this one's okay.
You know what? It's bad when you get a huh. It's worse when you get an uh-oh.
Yeah. Actually, I would love that. If I ever gave somebody a beer and they went,
you don't
uh-oh.
Want an uh-oh.
How awesome is that? Because at least then it's like they're really concerned. Like they're actually, uh-oh.
Well, how about a, well.
I like that. Uh-oh.
How about just a, well.
See, that's more benign. I really like the uh-oh. I love that.
Let's
in
one
fact.
One more up. Let's see. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think any time that we're literally, like, we're genuinely concerned about something that's happening, we should do that. Uh-oh.
Yeah, put a clip out there. You can use it to...
Is that what you did, McDowell, about this one? Is that what he did?
I'm a little concerned about this one. I don't know.
He did it so far away that it was hard to...
Uh-oh.
It was
crazy. No, I do a... my precursor is...
good Lord.
You want the truth?
It's a five-hour show.
I said, you want the truth?
Yeah. You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
A few good beers.
This whole brewery's out of order.
Now, constructive.
This IPA is out of order. This whole damn studio is out of order.
Try to be constructive, Justin. What's wrong with this IPA?
I don't know.
I think it's just JP? Recipe. I think it's just recipe. I think
the hops don't balance the malt.
No, it's way too bitter.
Way too bitter. If you're a real bitter dude and you really want the bitter hoppiness, it's good. Don't make me come over this.
That's a good point that what Doc's making here.
So David,
I didn't hear.
Exactly. You're too busy making fun of me. It's
good. I think it's kind of clean, but...
It's clean, but there's just way too much hop forward.
So unbalanced.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Oh, we got another note.
We're moving on.
Justin, you're going to hear a lot more of that in the next couple of months.
Oh, shit.
You non-brushing homo.
And you know what? I'm just going to run it next to your ear.
The next beer we're about to try is an American IPA.
Captain Kangaroo again.
Brewed in January of 2006, as JP has said, from Captain Kangaroo.
We have him in a chat room.
All right. Let's see.
I don't have his phone number.
Let me get you the specifics here. OG was 1070.
Give me your glass, too.
Fermented for 5 days only and ended at 1016.
All by itself?
What? Yeah. And why not any longer?
No. I kind of wonder if he means that it actually sort of visibly stopped fermenting after 5 days, but he left alone, or if he actually put it into another vessel after 5 days.
Oh.
Let's see. Trying to find his firm temp.
Smells good. Well, I'm sorry. When did he brew this, please?
In January of 2006. It's a year old.
The hop has kind
of
died out a little bit.
It tastes a little oak. A
lot of different hops in there. He's got Columbus for 60 minutes, Centennial for 30, Amarillo for 15, Cascade for 5, Amarillo for 5, and then he dry hopped it with Cascade as well.
The nose is kind of gone because it's a little old, but it tastes good. It's clean.
It's clean. The beer is aged well for
very
a hoppy
clean.
Beer.
I think
the malt's gone, though, as well.
Yeah, the malt's gone. The malt, it could have been perfect.
Yeah.
It's all clean hops.
Yeah, you did a good job. A
lot of malt.
Probably an earlier beer would have been
better.
It's clean and all hoppy.
I like it. 12 pounds of two-row, half a pound of Crystal 40, half a pound of biscuit, and half a pound of wheat.
That's a good recipe.
Use biscuit.
What's the deal with the wheat in the IPAs?
It gives it a crisp head, a little fruity flavor.
Oh, yeah?
It gives you more protein.
Okay.
And with the high alcohol problem with an IPA, it's a head killer.
Yeah.
So if you can put a little bit of wheat in it, like a pound.
As opposed to like carapils or something.
Yeah. The wheat has a lot more protein to it, and when you're trying to get a head going up, right. The bubbles are actually formed on protein. Right, so
note to self, when
you're not
going to
get that. The alcohol will actually kill that.
Yeah.
So if you want to have your IPA with, look at that.
There's something.
I love that it's radio and Doc is like,
look at that.
Look at that.
Here's the bottom of the can.
What are we talking about? The newest.
No, I was expecting you to say, look at what.
Yeah.
It's pretty foamy.
It gives a good head. It gives a good foam. I don't count a beer down because it doesn't have a good foamy head on it.
You're looking at a different beer.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, just checking.
But a high alcohol beer will just have no head to it.
And but this one has a lot of head.
People count it down.
Mm-hmm.
Stop rubbing yourself over there, JC. Okay,
JC,
JP,
PJ.
I find that it's like a crisp quality to the beer.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Are we done?
Yeah, well, this is the
rambling is
JJ's
killing
brew.
Me now. I can
Imperial
imagine
IPA.
Can imagine what the listeners are thinking.
JJ's Brew, Imperial IPA.
I like it.
This is the guy who did the Black and Brutal.
It's super foamy, so I don't know what that. What are you guys thinking about that?
Yeah. I like it. That's just something in the pour because I don't taste anything like secondary fermentation.
I get a cider.
It's not overcarbonated to me, is it? To you?
Nope.
Are you cidery?
It's really sweet and cidery.
Well, yeah, it could be a little hoppier.
I get a little cidery, too.
Yeah, it is.
I'd say infection.
It is a little cidery.
You're right. Cidery can come up from too high a ferment temp, too.
And no, there's something
wrong with it. I would get that more from this. Mm. It kind of spiked up around 74, 75.
Taste it again.
I got foam now, baby.
Here, taste mine. There's something wrong. Well, no, I'm sick. There's something
wrong
with it.
I'm not going to taste yours.
Here,
yeah. No, I'm serious. I want to let them know if there's something in there. And there is.
You know, for an IPA, this is a great foamy head on an IPA.
And you don't think it's about a foot too much?
Taste it again, Doc.
No.
I want to know.
Well, it's a good beer.
Yeah? Nothing wrong in there? All right.
I like it.
Man, we just do lunch meat. What do we know?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Is that all the IPAs?
Yes, that's all the IPAs. We have the three unlabeled, and that's it.
We're going to do the unlabeled next week. That's it. That's all I can take. Listen.
But you asked,
we're not
going to
do them next week.
We are. We're doing them next week.
Justin.
Yes.
Yes, why do we put wheat in there? And it's mostly for head retention.
Okay.
And when you got a high alcohol beer like an IPA.
It smooths the head out, right?
It does.
Yeah, so you need the protein.
But a pound in there is awesome.
And it's wheat will give it a little fruity flavor, too, which is balances out the hops quite really well. I think if we stay on longer to see how many times Doc repeats that.
And you know what? Because you guys didn't listen to me. Yeah. Yeah. Just trying to ignore me, and yeah. You're just a douchebag, so what the hell?
I think if we... Maybe you're right. Maybe you're honest with me, because I think if we stay on longer, JP and Doc will fight.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you what. Nothing makes for better radio than a fight.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's radio. Well, you can't see the face punches.
No, but I can give the play-by-play, and that's almost as good.
Doc just said face punches. I'm done with that. I make a living on my face.
You know what? Face punches are nothing. I've seen him do nut punches in here.
Yeah, I don't want
ask
that.
Ask poor John P.
No,
he's just been like walking by innocently,
yeah.
And Doc feels like trying out his new black belt move.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And waxed a poor kid in the nuts.
Like he just got it in mail order. Like he sent away like 8 UPC
coupons.
Well,
not really
from,
hard.
Like, Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. No, not like I meant it.
Yeah.
Doc, you know damn well that it only takes a graze to put a man down to his knees.
That's what it was, and it made him go home.
And, Doc, you smacked him in the nuts.
It was only a graze.
I heard it takes 17 pounds of pressure per square inch to pop a testicle.
Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, it's Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, what's the word, man?
Will you guys please end it?
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Some of us on the East Coast have to get up early and go to work.
And you can't as long as we're still
you just
partying.
Can't. Yeah.
I think we should start the show all over again. Yeah. You got some mail?
Dude, I'm with Hot Rod.
Hot Rod has a yellow card.
Let me tell you what.
I got a yellow flag.
It's the first. It's the first show of the year.
But our listeners have never been so right as they have been tonight. Like that first caller who was like, fuck, we got to piss, dude. Take a break. And now Hot Rod's like, okay, that's it, man.
Well, it's just a lot of things to discuss.
I think we're all pent up because we haven't had a show in a while.
2 weeks and no show, it gets to
us. Yeah, that's true.
It gets to us.
I agree with Doc. We haven't had a show in a few weeks.
Oh, did you forget about lunch meat?
It's been well worth it.
What do you do, Hot Rod?
I'm a contractor out here on the East Coast.
Where? Like, where on the East?
Connecticut.
Oh, your actually in Connecticut? State. No shit.
Oh, where in Connecticut?
What city?
I'm in Milford.
Milford,
Do I know Milford?
No, you don't know Milford.
What street do you live on?
It's all the same, though. It actually, in fact, I hate it when people ask what city in Connecticut, because it's all the same friggin' thing.
And no one's going to know anyway.
Connecticut is my favorite state in the United States.
I guess I'm always...
That's not even a state.
I'll tell you, I'm always hoping that somebody says New Haven, because that's our only claim to fame in Connecticut, because people get shot there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, New Haven's close enough. It's only 10 minutes up the street.
Yeah. Is Oakland your sister city to New Haven?
Oakland?
Yeah. Well, New Haven is Connecticut's Oakland, exactly. Yeah. If that's what you mean, yes. That's right. What I mean.
So where did 100%
daughter.
Burn?
What's that?
Where did Great White burn? Rhode Island.
Oh, that was Rhode Island.
Yeah, it was Rhode Island, yeah. All right, Hot Rod. Well, you know what? You're right. We're out of here. We got to let you go to sleep and do something productive tomorrow. So thanks for the call.
All right, we need to hear the old band, The Butterhole.
What?
What's a butterhole?
That's what you lost me on that.
Her face is ugly, but her hole is all right? Coach, is that what that means?
Coach told me he wants to hear some old song from the old band, Butterhole.
I'll tell you what. I don't. Maybe I'm missing something, but if you send me anything from Butterhole, I'll play it, man.
Talk to Code. He's the one that sent it to me.
All right, I will. Hey, thanks, Hot Rod. Take care, man.
All right. Good work, guys.
Right.
Can we play that new song again?
I want to play the latest tune from Butterhole. It's got to be a band that JP was in.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot at number 7.
With no excuses.
This is Butterhole.
No excuses. This Butterhole with no excuses.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Butterhole uncensored.
You got to answer
it. You're receiving a call.
You are.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going, Justin?
It's going good. Who am I talking to?
Well, it's MedTech.
MedTech!
Drunk of the year.
Man. What a great... It's nice to hear from you, sir.
Guys are killing me. Oh, my God.
I know. You got to go to work tomorrow, too, right?
Oh, shit. No, I got to go to work today. I was just thinking I'd call and say hi. I got one question for you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you have any suggestions for head retention in IPAs.
JP's just laughing at anything at this point.
No, because... You didn't get it?
No.
You don't get it?
No.
The last whole conversation we had about head retention
twice
and IPA.
About adding wheat. Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Scott repeated that, I think.
Maybe we should repeat
it. How many times
it?
Did MedTech, I thought repeat that? A lot more.
I'm going to sue MedTech.
Go ahead. I don't have anything.
You have your voice, and I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Dude, just put some wheat in there.
Yeah. Wheat? Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Wheat and
fixes everything.
And, but you could also use carapils, right? It's like
or
the same
flake
thing.
Wheat. Right.
Or flaked
or carafoam. Or carafoam. Which is the same as carapils, but it has a little sweetness.
Carafoam, carapils, wheat, flaked wheat, any of those
Jizz.
Things. And what should the, McDowell, a king of the IPAs, what should the percentage
protein
of that particular grain be?
Oh, I don't know. Just like, if you use like a 19-pound two-row, then... Couple pounds of flaked wheat or something like that.
Couple pounds of wheat, man. Or flaked wheat.
Now, what's the wheat do?
That adds head retention. God
Come
damn.
On.
Oh, love the head retention.
It's out there. It's
guys,
happening.
Have a good night.
Drunk of the year. MedTech adds head retention to IPAs. Drunk of the year. MedTech was the drunk of the year.
He still is.
Yeah, you know what? I think so.
Till we have a crowned new one.
That's right. He is the reigning king. Although, everybody who's in the studio for this show is... Competing. Yeah.
So I got an update on Butterhole.
Right.
They're thinking about recording again. It's an old punk band.
Yeah.
And Code was in it.
Oh, he was
really?
Yeah, and now he's thinking about recording again.
Wait, so we had Code in a punk band named Butterhole.
Exactly.
Push in a German rap band.
Yeah.
What is going on? Why haven't we heard any of this crap?
We're going to get his 40-year-old friend to re-record Butterhole.
If this does not say that our listeners are full of talent and creativity, then I don't know what does.
Yes, that's true.
Absolutely.
You know. Yeah. All right, listen, we got to get out of here.
Butterhole. Good night.
I want to do this. I want to thank Jim Cook for spending some time with us and doing an interview. That was a lot of fun. I also want to thank Mike McDowell for hanging out.
Sure.
We've been talking about you and mentioning your good beer for a long time, and I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks.
And you know what? I'll probably take the cuffs off pretty soon.
You've had him cuffed.
Well, you know what? I'm not doing it.
Yeah. You had to drag him in here.
Because my last guy ran away back to Texas, so I've cuffed him now.
Yeah, listen, I'm really happy you came in too, Mike. It's been such a good show.
But thanks, Mike. Thanks for
but
giving
you
your input.
You don't drive a
beer.
You don't drive a Hummer, so it cannot be.
Good night, guys.
Don't even know.
Happy New Year.
Enjoy the show.
And I'm sorry.
Hope it gets you through
and
some
commute. You should be.
McDowell, we're gonna drag you back. Is that cool? Tell me you'll come back.
Yeah,
yes,
sure, I'll be back.
When we don't have a panel of 50 beers to drink.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, really. Well.
Now we'll get you back. I tell you what, we're gonna do a How to Hop Your Beer show, and you're gonna have to come.
Oh yeah, I'll be
us
down for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I'll bring some.
Do. Thank you, Justin.
He is the king of balance. Hey, you're welcome. What'd I do?
Well, you didn't sue me tonight.
Also,
you don't know that.
Yeah.
You misinterpreted what I said.
I gotta ask my hamster for advice.
He'll tell you I'm suing you.
Lemmy winks.
He knows.
Lemmy winks.
I haven't had this much fun on here in a long time. Thanks everybody for tuning in. It's been it's actually really cool to be back in the air.
Yeah.
A good first show, and I'm serious. I just had a kick-ass time.
It was fun.
Thanks, Doc. Right. Thanks, McDowell. Thanks, sure. JP, Daniela. Good show, everybody. Hey, we'll be back next week with, you know, some more stuff.
Stop.
Thanks, everybody.
Later.
Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all of the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'll have it one right now. A mock will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew at a time, and the women say the lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crew, boys, I want a real home brew. Home brew, don't you really love it better? Home brew, can't get enough of it. Home brew, it blows my mind. I love home brew all of the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'm the one right now. Goodbye.